Tonight, you'd probably expect me to talk about the Nintendo Switch, but your hosts will do that for more than 13 seconds. What you may not have heard is the ongoing labor strike by union voice actors. My time is up for now, but stay tuned for this and plenty more news right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio tonight, episode number 662 for this October 23rd, 2016. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you from Studio N7 in Sacramento, California. And with me, as always, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki.
Hi.
I believe I overheard you say a phrase I don't hear you say very often while you were eating dinner before the show, and that was, this might be too much bacon. Is that true?
Well, it's not. It's that you can have too much bad bacon. Like, the bacon is just kind of, you know, it's fast food bacon that's just kind of, you know, it should be bacon. And, you know,
or
normally,
the bacon they used to have in my college dorms. It's just
like, if it's bacon that they, like, deep fry or they crisp up to the point where it's, like, snapping, you can never have too much of that, or if it's salty. But fast food bacon that's basically been cooked in the morning and sitting there all day long, you can have too much of that.
All right. Well, look, we could talk about bacon for a while, but there's a lot going on tonight. We have a very busy show tonight. Very excited to welcome. I know a lot of our longtime listeners have been looking forward to this. One of the creators, or I think believe the creator of Cat President, is here tonight. Not to be confused with President Cat. But we'll talk about that in about 30 minutes with Paul from OA Rock Studios and some other – I believe there's another game he's about ready to release. So we'll talk all about that, as well as cats and why they would make great presidents and so forth. We will get into that a little later. However, up first, I'm sure the folks listening this week are dying to know – so, what does Loki think of the Nintendo Switch? And in case, for some reason, you only get your gaming news from OLR, which I would find hard to believe, but thank you if that's the case, Nintendo did unveil the NX this week. So the NX is no more. It is now the Nintendo Switch, and that's the name. And there was a 3.5-minute trailer that we got with not even a day's lead time, what they announced Thursday night, that they would be posting it Friday morning. And it was very similar in nature to the Wii U trailer that they showed at E3 years and years ago, where it was actors using the device as Nintendo envisions this to be embraced by the world. So, Nintendo Switch. Loki, first off, Loki, what about the name? What do you think of the name Nintendo Switch?
It's not Wii or Wii U, so they've got points right there.
That's a good thing,
it's
right?
Not stupid. There you go. It's not a stupid name.
I like the name. I do.
I think it's fine.
It doesn't scream console to me, but certainly neither
it doesn't
did
scream
Wii.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what's a Wii?
I'm surprised they maybe didn't do Game Switch, but maybe maybe that's too close to some. There's probably a company out there already called that. But anyway, that's all right. I'm fine with the name Nintendo Switch, and I like that the logo is very different. They are one of the biggest things you notice that they're quote unquote fixing right off the top is they are separating this from the Wii and the Wii U, like visually with the name, very big difference, which is interesting considering the fact that in some ways I kind of feel that the Nintendo Switch is what a lot of people thought the Wii U could have been or should have been. Maybe that the technology wasn't quite ready for, but the fact that the gamepad should go with you anywhere. But regardless, a lot of the rumors that we've talked about here previously on the show turn out to be true. Yeah. Not all of them, certainly, because there was the whole fuckery of a touchpad with no controllers on it. Although,
or they had the one that was the concept where the controller was the touchpad, like you'd have the actual buttons and the image would be underneath, which was stupid.
So that's all out the window. Although. I mean, to be fair, since those controllers come off the touchpad, I suppose you could have where it's just the touchpad, although I don't know.
Well, technically, we don't know that it's a touchpad yet.
True. We don't know it's a touchpad yet.
Although it would be stupid not to do that.
I would be very surprised if it wasn't. I guess the question would be, how expensive is it to be a touchpad?
Not much.
In this day and age, that technology is very cheap. Anyway, Loki, I'm sure you watched the trailer 7 a.m. Friday morning like a lot of us did. What did you think?
I thought it was all right. I mean, it's just I'm not, like, I was expecting a little bit more, I don't know, like, with the Wii and stuff, it was more of, like, a wow factor because it was a different way to play your games. I think taking my system somewhere and playing a game is not necessarily that big a deal to me because I used to do that. Shit, I did that when I was in high school with the PlayStation 1, and I've, you know, did it with previous systems before. So it's not, I mean, it's neat that you can take the controller, I guess, with you, and it doesn't seem to stop your game. But I don't know. I do like the fact that theoretically it's powerful enough to run games like Skyrim and stuff, so hopefully that means that we'll have some third-party games on there or even, you know, something better quality. I mean, because that was a really hurting point for the Wii U.
Well, Nintendo did come out with a slide. I don't know if it's from their press site or where, but it's floating around the internet there that shows all these company logos, and it's, look at who we're partnering with for the Switch. And I don't know. I kind of take that with a grain of salt. Not that I'm trying to be negative when it comes to Nintendo. I am excited about the Switch. I look forward to it. But I just kind of can't help but feel like we saw a slide like this with the Wii U. And, you know, EA's logo was up there. EA even got on stage with them at E3 and talked about how freaking great the Wii U was. And then what did EA do? Put out two games,
yes,
and then
I remember
dropped
the...
it like...
It was even worse than the 3DS because they didn't just have game, they didn't have game company names. They had game names on there like Saints Row and DJ Hero, and that shit never fucking happened. So I was a little bit disappointed there. But I mean, it looks nice as like a portable system, I guess, but it's so huge as it's not really good for a portable system. And then the other thing you have to factor in too, it's not like your tablet or your phone, because where's the internet? You have to be on Wi-Fi to use that shit. And so all these dreams of people saying, oh, portable Splatoon, no, not unless you're tethered to something.
Well, a lot of that depends on how much online Nintendo's going to embrace with this. If Nintendo is doing Wi-Fi, which would make an awful lot of sense, the 3DS does it. And so many places have Wi-Fi now, like Starbucks, et cetera. McDonald's, they were doing some giveaway there. So many places have Wi-Fi now, I could see that. And, you know, we know that, hell, even back to what the Game Boy Advance could do, same room multiplayer through the infrared, which I'm sure is all now Bluetooth technology. I'm not worried about multiplayer in the same room by any means, for sure, with the Switch. And well, I would think Wi-Fi is a given for the internet. Look at the Vita and the 3G on the Vita. That went nowhere.
No, it didn't go anywhere.
I don't see Nintendo really selling cellular, just getting their hands in that. I think they'll probably do Wi-Fi like they do on DS, and that'll be fine. I kind of think that's going to be it.
But the other thing about that too is like when they were shown in the video where there's people, you know, split, basically taking the two Joy-Cons and two sides of the controllers and using them to play multiplayer games on a tiny screen. It just doesn't seem like that's something you're going to be doing a lot of because that screen is fucking tiny and you're playing it. It's just like, that's about as feasible as, oh, hey, did you know that there's sensors built into the Wii U tablet screen that you can use your motion controllers with it to play motion games on that screen? Did anyone fucking do that? No, they didn't, because it's stupid, because that screen is so small, it just is not going to work very well. I don't see the point. I mean, I guess in that one scenario where they're showing, oh, it's in a car.
It is for the Wii games that they're going to sell on Virtual Console. Trust. The Wii U, the Wii U gamepad has like that same thing in it. And that's like the only time I've seen it used, is you can optionally use that as your infrared.
Right, that's
bar.
What I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense. That's what I'm saying, is the screen's so small, it doesn't make sense to do like split screen gaming on it, because you're splitting a six-inch screen two ways. That's just dumb. I don't know. I mean, they didn't really show us much yet, other than it doesn't have a stupid name. It looks like the hardware is more powerful. That's all we really know about it. And then that there's potentially a Mario game, maybe Skyrim, although Bethesda's like, oh, we're not confirming that Skyrim's going to be on it, which reminds me of, oh, hey, Minecraft on the fucking, what was that? The Ouya. Yeah. Minecraft on the Ouya. You know, it's all over again. It's just, I don't know. I'm not impressed, but I'm not like disappointed, I guess. I have no expectations of it, really.
Do you think the rumors from beforehand that we had that, you know, kind of ended up being plausibly correct. Do you think that that all kind of played into it? Because I know for me, it was like when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, okay, cool. So they're running with that idea that everybody's been already talking about for a while now. So it was kind of, in a way, I kind of felt the reveal was anticlimactic in that regard. Although, you know, the little bones tossed of a potential Skyrim on this thing, although we don't
really
know. To me, it
seems like it's a console that you can take with you. Cool. I don't see the innovation there aside from it's convenient to take it with me if I was going to take it with me. But as far as gameplay wise, it's basically doing the same shit that fucking Sony and Microsoft are doing as far as gameplay. I mean, there's no indication of motion controls on there at all. It's like they've gotten rid of that whole thing. There's no indication of a touchpad yet, although it'd be crazy for them not to do that, but it's not a guarantee. So it's just, to me, as the way I described it, it's safe. They're playing it safe, and that's fine. They can do that, but like,
I think
we're just looking for like to be this impressed, like the Wii was like, holy crap, you know, that's, can you imagine, you know, playing games this way or like in the 3DS? Wow, 3D without glasses, that's going to be crazy impressive. And all that kind of fell flat, and now it's just like, yeah, we're just not really going to try to impress you. It's a system you can take with you.
So it needs the games to really justify
it. It needs the games,
and
also needs the price point to make sense, because they're going to fuck people on the price point. Right. I have a feeling that's going to happen.
I want to make sure we get some of our chatters in, too. Very important, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, VOGNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And if you are listening live, you should join us in chat, live.vognetwork.com, where we have some comments, such as Dark Tetsuya mentioning the fact that the Switch is a one-syllable word, saying, I think they were just trying to keep it simple and easy to remember. It's one syllable like we was. So, you know, Switch is a very, you know, just a simple word. I can kind of see that perspective, that maybe they didn't want to come up with a complicated name, so they kept it very simple. That makes sense. Let's see. Stella Rose 412 in chat says, there are a fuck ton of third-party partners. Super excited. And yeah, despite what I said about, you know, the Wii U thing and where I said, I don't want to get my hopes up, at the same time, Nintendo is very, very, very strong in the portable market. And if they've leveraged a lot of that from their portable market to the Switch, then that's really only going to be a good thing. I mean, Square Enix, as an example, puts out some pretty cool games on 3DS that you really can't get anywhere else.
Right, and that would make sense why they would want a touchscreen on there. And also, it solves the problem, well, there's not a lot of content on the Wii U. Well, now we just have the same content that's from both into one platform, basically.
I don't know how I feel about the Wii U. What did you think about the whole fact that it looks like they're doing Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon for Wii U? Although, just, you know, before people call it out, yes, we had King Boo driving a cart in Mario Kart,
that
which
could
is
be DLC.
Mario Kart 8.
That could simply be DLC for later on.
Same thing with Splatoon.
Same thing with Splatoon. That's basically DLC. Is that worth it for purchasing the game all over again?
But,
no.
Well, but the argument would be a lot of people didn't purchase it in the first place because the Wii U didn't move as much as Nintendo wanted it to.
That's fine
so
if you want to make
these
that argument.
Games.
But here's my problem also,
and
though.
And Bayonetta 2 should be there.
Okay, here's my problem, though, with it is I purchased all my games digitally. Are you going to tell me that I'm, once again, not going to be able to move my digital library over to the new system? Because, like, I get it with the Wii and Wii U titles and stuff like that, but if they pull that shit with Virtual Console again, where I can't play those Virtual Console games on this new system, what the hell? I mean, that's just stupid. Oh, well, we had to make this, like, login for our network so we track all your purchases and everything, but it's just not gonna fucking work again. I mean, it's all these things that I need to see what's gonna happen with it, like answer all these questions before I decide whether I want it or not.
Yeah, and I think you do raise some good questions about, I mean, I am not expecting that people who purchase that stuff on Wii U digitally are going to get any sort of deal, because the people who got it on disc, when there's no disc drive on that thing, are not going to get a deal. I just don't see that happening, period. And some folks in chat, several folks in chat are saying the Splatoon changes look too big to be DLC. Some folks thinking that's a new game. But at the end of the day, we don't know. We are speculating off of literal seconds of footage, so we don't know. Nintendo will eventually have to say more about what this Splatoon is. Is it a enhanced edition? Is it Splatoon 2? What the hell is it? We're not going to know for a while, right? Loki, I would think this is probably the last we hear of the Switch until January.
I think that's what they said, and that's stupid, but whatever.
Well, is it? Because with the holiday season and everybody going to be looking around for holiday stuff, this is something that's not going to be on the shelves on the holidays. So is it stupid to just kind of let it go till next year? Get people hyped in January for
right.
those gift cards?
I think it's going to be stupid to do that because people can get hyped about the Xbox One or something. Hell, I was looking at it today. They were offering some stuff where the system's $50 off. They give you $50 on top of that towards a future purchase and a free game for $250 for an Xbox One. I was like, shit. Maybe I should do that. And I mean, it's like, I just don't know what the price of this is going to be, and is it worth purchasing for a week? You know, in Skyrim, that's kind of exciting that Skyrim's on a Nintendo system. But
I am now as much as I'm championing this thing, and I do feel positive about it and everything. That's the one thing where I kind of was like, big fucking deal. Skyrim,
exactly.
Skyrim's an old game.
It's on every other platform. It was on the Xbox 360. It's on the fucking PlayStation 3. Big fucking deal.
However, with that, if this is some type of enhanced Skyrim, or if it's the HD Skyrim or whatever, but the reality is PlayStation and Xbox are going to get it. I would like to just see something new from Bethesda. Now, rumors are that that's happening with Beyond Good and Evil, right? We've heard the rumors this week because that was out previously.
That's not Bethesda, though. Beyond Good and Evil.
I thought there was something. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Crazy moment. I thought there was something with Bethesda as well. There was something that was anyway. Okay, then fine. All that stuff aside, clearly my thought train derailed on that. But all that stuff aside, like, you know, I would like to see something maybe new from Bethesda because my concern is, look, don't hate me because I'm saying this about Skyrim, but the reality is the Wii U launch lineup was Mass Effect, Arkham City, all these things that had already come out a year before, and look where that got the Wii U. So I don't find Skyrim on this thing to be good news. Bethesda needs to be pushing something current. Now, I suppose, what about, this is going to sound ridiculous, but what if it was Elder Scrolls Online? Because that's still something that Bethesda's, like, trying in that department, and, oh, you're just straight up laughing over
that. That's so stupid. No, no one wants that shit.
Rude!
No
Rude.
One wants that. I'm sorry.
But at least, and the reason why
And it can't be online. It can't be Elder Scrolls Online because fucking Nintendo doesn't get online yet. So.
Well, we don't know. They didn't say anything about
really?
Online.
Okay, let me tell you this much. My expectations of Nintendo's ability to grasp online and actually get it is about as high as the
I'm gonna
fucking
shut this
announcement
down.
Of the
I'm
Switch.
I'm going to shut this down right now. Dragon Quest X is a thing. It's not a thing here for some reason, but it's a thing. So, yes, Nintendo is capable of running an MMO. So, shut it down. All right.
No, I'm sorry. It's not here, so that doesn't count.
Well, that's a frustration for me, too. Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says, while they did announce the console, we didn't get details about it. Stoppy says, I'd say we got a lot, just not everything. Let's see. Tiger Claw says, whatever Elder Scrolls they are coming for the Switch, it's going to be some stripped-down version with some features missing. Well,
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. No, I don't either. It may not be this HD remaster that the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One are getting, this week, right? But it could be the older version with some other type of alternative enhancements. I don't know.
We don't know yet. I mean,
speculation.
There's a lot of information we don't know about it yet. I mean, I was going to say, one of the things that we saw, things they're talking about is that it can actually run Unreal 4. Mm-hmm. So if it can run Unreal 4, I mean, I know it's scalable and stuff, but it could be, pretty decent. I just don't know what this is capable of. I mean, the Zelda game looks pretty, and the Mario game, theoretically, I mean, even though we don't know anything about it, and it could very well just be CG bullshit, looked nice. So I don't know.
Alpha Cananagram in chat says, Miitomo is a good sign of future network of Nintendo. You might want to maybe Pokemon Go or something. I don't know. Well, I like Miitomo. All right, look.
Vomit.
Dungeon Buster says, Skyrim on the Switch is a big thing because Bethesda had never brought over any of its flagship games to a Nintendo system before. But do you see why that concerns me, though? Because, again, it's an old game on the new console that I don't think there's the demand there for that people think. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I don't think Skyrim to be Bethesda's benchmark of how well can we do on the Wii.
They do mods and everything. That would be pretty cool if they had mod support on there as long, you know, as well.
I guess that'd be cool. There was another really good comment a minute ago that I wanted to get out here. Oh, here it is. Over at live.vognetwork.com. I hope I'm saying this right. Sorry if I'm not. Ichbin Maya says, I would also think that our virtual console purchases may be offered again on the Switch at a discounted upgrade rate, like they offered for the Switch from Wii to Wii U. So that is a good point that Nintendo already has that technology to know what you've bought in the past.
Right.
So maybe if you did buy something digitally, maybe you could qualify for a discount. I don't know. I think it would put Nintendo in a really weird position because you're going to have all these people that have it on disc that wouldn't necessarily qualify unless maybe they, I don't know, do some type of like My Nintendo registrations, although that's all gone. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how they.
It's so weird that you say that, you know, and how that they have different systems that are capable of different things. That you purchase one game on, you get to play it on all of them, like both Xbox and Sony have. So that the fact that they're not able to do this with, you know, the 3DS, Wii U, and Switch is kind of stupid. So they can get my discounted rate of I don't give a shit about their fucking virtual console at that point.
Well, we'll see. I'm willing to let this just kind of sit for a while because Nintendo hasn't talked about online. We'll find out. You know, we just don't know. We've got – this is all off three and a half minutes, but at least it's something finally.
And let's talk about battery life because you're going to have battery life in the stupid little Joy-Cons. You have battery life in the actual system itself. It's going to be a mess.
Couldn't they all charge each other? Couldn't that dock charge everything?
Right. That's what I'm thinking it's going to do. And then the system would charge that. And then when they showed the two Joy-Cons plugged into that grip thing, I'm assuming that has a battery in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
All the batteries.
All the batteries. The Nintendo battery. The Nintendo battery switch. I'm pretty sure a nice, good charge will take care of all of that, though. What else do we want to talk about on the Switch here real quick? Because there's a lot of news that's kind of like follow-up to this as well, right? We heard about...
It's based off an NVIDIA tech, so they're the ones, you know, doing the, you know, processing design and everything.
So the Tegra thing is true.
Stuff,
it's a new Tegra, not the one that runs other
stuff. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So be interesting to see what that can, you know, push out.
Confirmed no backwards compatibility with Wii U because there's no disc drive or 3DS. Not a thing either, which I have to admit, here's the tricky thing for me is that I'm actually viewing the Switch as a portable successor. And I know, I know full well that Nintendo has said, no, we still plan to support the 3DS and this is the console, this is not, but I don't know if I believe it per se. Is that coming from the marketing side or is that coming from like Miyamoto?
They'll support it while there's people buying the system. That's it. I mean, because the DS was supported for a long time.
It's also one of those things where it's like, well, we'll support, you know, the Nintendo 64 after the GameCube comes out, but not for very long.
See, what I would want to see
I don't want to see the 3DS continue.
Well, I want to see with the Switch,
respect.
Like, ideally, what I would have liked the trailer to show me is like, why that system being portable is innovative, you know, other than, oh, I can take it with me. Cool, I guess. But like if they showed me like, hey, I can take this Pokemon game and I pop it off and it has GPS built into the system and I can walk around and catch Pokemon or something like that, like Pokemon Go or something, and come back and, you know, it adds like gameplay to that, not just I can take the same game with me somewhere else. I mean, that's... I don't know.
Let's see. Looking in chat for more comments over at live.vognetwork.com. I'm sorry. I love this one. Dungeon Buster says, I just hope they don't source Samsung for the batteries. It's a good one. I like that. Then that whole portable playing on the plane thing isn't going to happen if Samsung does those batteries.
I heard that they actually had kiosks in airports to try to get you to turn those in if you haven't already. So that's kind of funny.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's see. What else is there? Stoppy says, I'd say it's like Game Boy to Game Boy Color. They're going to support it for a long time with lots of cross and backwards compatibility. But I think it was somebody has said that cartridge slot is not going to hold the 3DS cart. Like it's different, right?
Yeah, it looked different.
So I don't know if we have the firm details on that, but don't assume just because there's a cartridge slot on it that it's playing 3DS stuff. And that's another reason why I kind of view it as a successor to the portable market, because it is doing the the portable cartridges that I'm used to at this point, and they kind of got rid of the disc thing. Like, I don't know. I just...
Well, it can't really do 3DS, because, I mean, how would you do that? I mean, I guess you would turn the system vertically or something, or you know, sideways.
Let's see. SSG100 Matt also says, I do see this as a portable experience, like tablet mobile, and not a home console. And then let's see, Alpha Cananagram says, Nintendo Switch is what the PS Vita should have done better when continuing console games on the go. That's probably a really good point. Like, because didn't the Vita kind of, I seem to remember one E3, they were doing some type of dungeon crawler, and the guy like paused in the middle of it and kind of continued it on the Vita. So they were kind of showing that a little bit. But we didn't really see a lot of that fully realized, yeah, right?
Not
so this
really.
This is maybe taking that a step further, right? What else? What else do we need to talk about with the Nintendo Switch, with the follow-up news that came out after this?
I don't know. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's still a lot we don't know about it yet.
Okay. Any games that you're hoping to see Nintendo announce? Like, anything that you would like them to unveil, Loki, that would move you into the fan column?
Well, I'm always for, you know, remasters of games that are actually, I thought, pretty good, like on the Wii and stuff, for example. I'd love a new Excite Truck game. I'm not talking Excite Bots, because fuck them for that game. I mean, seriously, whoever the asshole that thought putting minigames in the middle of a fucking race is, I want to kill him. I want to strangle the fucker to death. I mean, it's just, that is just a dumb, it made no fucking sense at all. So I love a new remaster of like an Excite Truck game, because that was actually fun and I really enjoyed that. I think that'd be cool.
Or how about fucking F-Zero? Or, if we're gonna talk about F-Zero racing, let's talk about fucking F-Zero. Fucking Zero. F-Zero. That's how many of those games we've seen in the past decade. Fucking Zero, and it's really irritating me.
That would be cool. You know, a new Metroid would be nice.
Let's see. Each Bon Maya sharing an article that, Each Bin Maya sharing an article saying Nintendo did confirm no DS and 3DS compatibility. Sharing an article there. I thought I had read something like that. MXC in chat at live.vognetwork.com saying, I'm curious as to the storage size of the game cartridges. Given the ridiculous sizes of some modern games, it'll need to be decently large as compared to the 8 gig and 4 gig game sizes of 3DS and Vita, respectively. Those cards ought to be 32 gigs, don't you think? That would seem like a relatively, at this point, inexpensive size that's going to hold a lot of data, right?
They would need to be pretty big, yeah. And speaking of pretty big, let's hope that they're not fucking retarded with the stupid onboard storage and giving us 32 gigs again, because they can go fuck themselves with their 32 gigs.
I have a feeling that, well, okay, tinfoil hat. Could the dock have some of that storage? Because
wow, that would be so useful when I take it to go. Oh, wait, I can't access my storage because it's at fucking home.
What if there's some type of like portable memory or something? I don't know. Maybe that's too complicated. But my concern is because it is something you're taking with you on the go, you're not going to have exactly a terabyte. And the fact that all the games
I'm
are cartridges
I'm not asking
now.
For a terabyte. Fucking 256 gigabytes or 128 gigabytes. Mm. Is that too much to ask?
It might be.
I mean, depending on the size of the games, obviously. But if it's anything like the Wii U, like after, like, what, two or three games on there, it's like, oh, sorry, you got to get external storage now. That's retarded. I mean, I have, like, I don't even know how many games I have on my PlayStation 4 right now. And those are Blu-ray games. And I've got, like, at least 20 games on there.
Let's see. A couple other thoughts here at live.vognetwork.com. StellarRose412 says, would they maybe have the SD card like the 3DS? I suppose that's a possibility. Who knows? Especially with it, and a lot of people, multiple people saying how cheap that type of storage is. So I suppose anything is possible, right?
That would be nice.
And again, maybe something where you could put it on the dock and have more memory. And I don't know. Maybe I think that might just be too complicated for most people. Who knows? Anyway, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. I'm sure there'll be plenty more to talk about on the Nintendo Switch in the coming weeks. But we want to go back and talk about PC gaming for a little bit here before we get into our gaming weeks. Because we're going to talk about a PC game that's available on Steam right now. And it's a game called Cat President. And we're getting on the line right now, Paul from A Rock Studios. And he's going to be joining us to talk about the game CAP president, and we're trying to get him on the line right now, and I think he's there. Hey, Paul, you there?
Hello. Hey, hi. How's it going?
Great. Welcome to Orange Lounge Radio.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
We are very happy to have you. This is an interview that's been a long time coming ever since we first spotted your game on Steam, so I'm glad you could be here, especially on such a large week with the whole Switch reveal and all that stuff. Surely you're watching that as a gamer, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm paying a little attention. I mean, my main and only thought that I had while watching that video was I'm going to lose all of those parts immediately, just right out of the box. They're going to go under the couch. They're gone.
No, considering, like, everything is detachable.
Or bringing this back to cats, if anyone has cats like my cat, you leave that on the floor. That shit is under the couch.
That's a damn good point, Logie. All right, so, Paul, tell us about your game, Cat President.
Yes. Okay. It's a visual novel. People have compared it to Hot Topple Boyfriend. I don't see the comparison personally, but, you know, that's fine. It's a visual novel about the presidential election and presidential politics, except that all of the candidates are cats, and there's a very good chance that you will fall in love with them.
Just like you do the pigeons in Hot to Full Boyfriend. I think that's probably why you're getting the comparisons.
I guess I can kind of see it. I don't know.
Well, Hot to Full Boyfriend's also like one of the more well-known visual novels. So
yeah,
I think that's
and we kind of copped their art style. But other than that, totally different kind of
Speaking of copying things, I need to clear something up here for our listeners and some, you know, folks who have been listening to the show a long time. Paul, was any of this inspired by a Wii title? From a few years ago?
No, it wasn't. The first time I even heard about President Cat, I'm ashamed to say, was in the very first review of Cat President that came out, which was on a major website and had some very unfavorable comparisons. And it was a great review. It sounded like that Cat President was the worst thing that had ever happened to this person in their entire life.
That's not nice.
Oh, well, it happens.
First off, I didn't realize that review was on a major website. So first off, that just proves major websites are listening to this show. So watch.
They're also like too bent out of shape if that's going to make their life miserable, just like playing a game.
Although I also feel kind of bad because you had no idea. And to be fair, the President Cat thing was years ago. And I knew when your game came out that obviously this has been a crazy freaking year when it comes to elections. So, of course, somebody made a game that is somewhat inspired by the electional stuff. And who doesn't love cats? This is a very...
Well, to be clear, I do hold you 100% responsible for that review.
Well, wait a minute. We're going to blame Jamie. She's the one that translated it, and she's not here. So when in doubt, blame the one that's not here. So
okay, that's fair. Okay. No, I'm going
to redirect those complaints to Dark Soccer. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that the review invoked some internet fuckery thing that we started, but yeah, that person just needs to get over it, I suppose. But to be clear also, your game is not action or mini games or any of that stuff that we saw with Tsukiban Sochou Reno Wii, which was the President Cat stuff. This is a visual novel game.
Yeah, pure text-based decision-making. Like, yeah, you have a lot of dialogue. You have to decide whether... Basically, you decide whether you're going to be nice to the candidate or mean to the candidate, and your reactions kind of determine whether you get the good ending where you get to live happily ever after with your new cat friend, or if, you know, they fire you, you die, stuff like that.
Is this the first game that you've done, or is this...
No, it's the first game we've released on Steam. We've released a few other small visual novels on itch.io, one called My Nigerian Prince, another kind of romance-themed game about falling in love with an internet scammer, and one called Francie Drew, which is a mystery parody of Nancy Drew. But I also released an FMV game last year, written, directing, starred, all camera work, everything 100% by me, black and white game. About an awkward person trying to answer his front door when there's someone outside and he doesn't know who it is.
Those all sound awesome.
I know. You have a great sense of humor. These all sound amazing. Like,
well, thank you.
I hope those major websites that are clearly listening to this program, I hope they discover your shit through this because it sounds like you've got some genius. The My Nigerian Prince thing, that is funny. That is really fun. I'm going
to
check that out.
Well, to be fair, I can't claim 100% credit for that, or Cat President for that matter. I work with a partner who does a lot of the writing. I'm focused more on the coding, the copy editing, and the cat photoshopping.
Okay, fair enough. So when I say you, I mean your studio. Fair enough.
Yeah, sure.
All right. let's see. And some folks in chat over at live.vognetwork.com already finding the link there from my Nigerian prince. Well, let's talk about Cat President, though, the one that is on Steam. So you actually went the Steam Greenlight route with this, right?
Yeah. it was a learning experience. Putting a game through Steam Greenlight, you're never going to be bothered by, let's say, negative feedback ever again, because you're just going to get tons and tons of comments about how terrible your game is, how you're ruining Steam. And it's like immersion therapy for people being terrible on the internet, basically. Like if you can get through that without like just flipping out, deleting it, throwing your computer in the garbage, like you can take anything at that point.
Paul, how do you feel that you personally are the reason we don't have Half-Life 3?
Oh, it's 100% my, like, I take full credit for ruining Steam. Like, if Steam is in the crap hole now, like, that's my fault. That's absolutely true.
So what inspired, I know you said that you have another guy that you work with that did a lot of the writing, but what inspired this game? What inspired you to do
Cat President? Yeah, so my friend, he plays a lot of Japanese dating sims on his phone, and he started to notice that there were a lot of comparisons that you could draw between candidates in the presidential election and the type of beaus that you have in Japanese dating sims. You know, you have the nice guy, the guy who shouts a lot, the young candidate, the pervert, and that made him think that we could do something with that. So we started talking on Twitter about the idea, and then I said, "Hey, can we make them all cats?" And you know, the rest is history.
That's outstanding. I love that. So and you guys have a new game that you're doing like this coming week, right?
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I have a game that's completely different from everything else I just mentioned. It's a retro-style point-and-click adventure game called The Beard in the Mirror, heavily inspired by like old Sierra games, LucasArts games, the kind of stuff I grew up playing and the stuff that made me want to get into game development in the first place. My wife and I have actually built this one together. We've been working on it basically the entirety of our adult lives. This game has like existed in the background for us. And it's finally coming out, and we couldn't be, I don't know if happy is the right word, but more relieved, certainly, that we finally finished it.
I can't help but notice in your Skype little picture that you yourself have a beard, and this game is called The Beard. And is this some type of, like, biography? Like, what?
To be fair, the main character's name is also Paul, but no, my wife started making the game by herself before we even started dating, actually, and she wanted to put me in the game, and you know, we talked a bunch of times about should we change the character's name? Is this getting too weird? But as the game progressed, as we wrote more, as we kind of figured out who the character was, like he just kind of became his own person. He's his own character, so yeah. But a beard does play a significant role in the game. I'm not going to say any more than that.
All right, fair enough. I was going to say, tell me a little more about the plot, but is it too spoilery to tell me much more about the game?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm so bad at elevator pitches. Like, I'm the worst salesman in general. Like, I'm happy to just say, here's my game. If you like it, that's great. If not, no, well, that's fine. Maybe you'll find another game you like. That's who cares. No, it's like I said, a retro point and click adventure game. Character is awoken in the middle of the night by a mysterious woman who thinks that he should remember him. She's like, Paul, wake up. Don't you know who I am? Blah, blah, blah. And then he wakes up, opens his front door. There's a forest out there where there was previously a hallway. And then the rest of the game is kind of figuring out what the hell's going on and figuring out what this person kind of wants to do with his life.
How have you developed your games? And if you guys have questions for Paul, of course, our chat room's wide open for questions over at live.vognetwork.com. Like, what tools are you using to develop? Because I find that interesting that you've been doing a lot of visual novels, but like you're making a very radical switch now into a point and click adventure game. So what have you been using?
Oh yeah, sure. We use a couple of different free tools. I mean, we use the same thing a lot of beginning studios, beginning developers use. We use RenPy for visual novels and AGS, Adventure Game Studio, for the point-and-click adventure game. Basically stuff that requires a minimal knowledge of actual coding involved, to be perfectly frank. I don't know that without this kind of software I could code my way out of a paper bag.
Well, and I think that's totally okay because everybody has to kind of start somewhere on one hand. And I think there's a lot of huge games. Like, isn't Five Nights at Freddy's from one of those types of software where, like, you can do it?
I think so, yeah. And a lot of, I don't know if you've ever heard of a company called Wadget Eye Games. They do a lot of point-and-click adventure games like we're working on. And all of their stuff is the same program that we use, Adventure Game Studio.
Yeah, I think that stuff is just, and even when you look at something that's quote-unquote serious, like Unity, like, there's a lot of plug-and-play components to Unity, right, Loki? Like,
go ahead.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter what you use to get there as long as it's what the end product is, really.
Exactly, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's great. We live in a world right now where anyone who can just wake up and say, I want to make a game, and they can just download some free tools online and do it. Like, 20 years ago, I can tell you, when high school, when I started studying this stuff, I was like, wow, I'm really wicked bad at this. There's a lot of math. And I would never have become a game developer if there weren't such, you know, easy tools to let you dip your toes in and just figure out what you're even doing. I think it's great that we live in that kind of world now.
All right, let's get to some questions from our chat room over live.vognetwork.com. SSJ100 Matt is asking, where did you get the cat or animal pictures that are – because if I remember right, I saw a dog that was wearing cat ears.
The cat pictures, actually, it's fun. I put out the call on Facebook asking for friends to submit cute pictures of their cats to put in the game. And, I mean, it was like I was – George Bailey at the end of It's a Wonderful Life with cat photos, just tons, like, cat photos just raining from the heavens. The one advice that I could offer to any aspiring game developer out there is to put your friends' cats in your game, because then they will have to tell everyone about it. Like, it's a great promotional tool.
You know what's hilarious about that, and I know he's listening or will be listening on the podcast later this week. We have a friend of the show who also does development, who's also doing a game through Steam Greenlight that just got greenlit right now, our buddy YYR. And he put a game out on the Xbox Indie Games called Bungie Ferret Tossing. And he did something very similar because he had all these exploding ferrets in the game. He didn't want people to think that it was actually advocating violence against animals. So in the very beginning of the game, he puts this PSA about, please don't hurt animals. And he solicited pictures of everybody's animals. And I think a very similar thing happened. And that's how my cat got in a video game.
Oh.
So there it is. Yes, and SSG100 Matt in chat says, the internet is filled with cat pictures. Raginator in chat, by the way, saying, yeah, anyone can make a game except Loki. He starts making them, but then can't complete them.
Hey, I could complete it just fine. It would just be a piece of garbage, and, you know, I don't want to release a piece of garbage. So, I mean, hey, if you want me to release what I have right now for that game, by all means, I could do that. But it'd be a broken piece of garbage, and I really don't feel like I want to release that.
Raginator in chat over at live.vognetwork.com is asking, any plan for a cats versus dogs game or a game wholly about bacon? I don't know if that means you're going to do a cats versus pigs game, but is there time for more cats later on, Paul, or is this like an idea that, no, you're one and done?
I mean, we've tossed around the idea of doing some DLC episodes starring some of the minor candidates of the game, or maybe doing a full sequel, maybe to align with the next presidential election, but That hasn't really gotten beyond the us tweeting ideas at one another stage as of yet. There are some dogs in the game, though, and a couple. I actually stuck my pet bunny rabbits in as vice presidential candidates as well. I was very, very happy to be able to do that.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, one more call for questions over at our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. And I notice Act Deft is saying a cat president 2 re-election. So they're already pitching you ideas over there.
Oh, I'm going to have to make sure to check that out then, because we don't have a lot of ideas yet. But
you're going to be releasing this, the Beard in the Mirror game really soon. Have you thought about, you know, as these games are starting to you know, sell on Steam and you're kind of getting more and more, you've kind of moved from itch.io to Steam and so forth. Are you looking at trying to maybe expand even more, potentially trying to get into places like the console market? Or is that something on your radar? Nah, not yet.
I'm pretty happy making my small weirdo games at the moment, to be honest. I really like the ease of access on the computer. I really like just how simple and straightforward everything is. Where I'm like I said, I'm still someone who's kind of learning how to do all of this on the fly. So not at the moment. I did release, you mentioned Xbox Indie Games a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I did have a point-and-click adventure game I released there several years ago, back when the Indie Games channel was still a thing, called Life in the Dorms, a comedic game about just trying to make friends in college, basically. Semi-autobiographical.
I was going to say, a lot of these games kind of seem based on potential real-life scenarios that then spiral way out of control when you sit next to a computer. And now that just makes me even wonder even more where Cat President comes from. But, you know,
cat- well, it came from the time my cat ran for president.
Just print... just. When they bury this show, just print that on the tombstone, that little exchange right there. Just print that on the tombstone. Let's see. And look, our chatters are instead of asking questions, they're just throwing around ideas for sequels. Stella Rose 412 says, Cat President 2, The Empty Podium 1. I don't understand. Brad from Pod Culture says, Cat President 2, Impeachment. The dog party tries to ouster the current cat president and replace with their own candidate. You could have, instead of the governator, because that freaking happened in California, instead of the governator, it could be like the puppy-nator or something.
Or how
like
that about would this? Be fantastic. Cat President 2, The Hunt for Mises.
Oh, no. That might be getting a little too real for
Shut
us.
It down. We're done. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody. Let's see. We have Raginator saying, Cat President 2, Make Catnip Great Again. Isn't catnip already awesome, though? I don't think that... Maybe what Dungeon Buster says is a little more along those lines. I tried catnip, but I didn't inhale. So many great ideas there. But, Paul, we're going to leave the ideas and the execution to you guys. It really sounds like you guys are very clever and creative and have created some visual novels that I hope people will give a read or a play, if you will. So, one more kind of shout out. Where can we follow you? Where can we find these games? Where can we track what's coming up from Oa Rock
yeah,
Studios?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter. I'm on there kind of constantly, at Paul M. Franzen. You can follow our group, also on Twitter at Oa Rock Studios. We have oarock.com where it kind of has a link to all of our games. And our whole library of games is basically between itch.io and Steam. So that's all there.
All right. Well, I really wish you the best of luck. And, you know, even because we could not have President Cat in the States because for some reason they just didn't think it would do well here.
Which, it's because it didn't do well in Japan either. So.
Well, I still say I never saw the receipts on that. But anyway, I want to say thank you for making a presidential cat a reality at least. At least in one way or another, we do have presidential cats as a reality, even if really we had nothing to do with it and we're really just causing you problems because of it. I'm still thankful. So,
hey, we still got a review on a major website at least. So,
hey, that works. And then last thought here, and I'll let you go. Act Deft is suggesting Cat President 2, grab him by the human.
Okay, wait, that's actually really good. And I'm going to write that down.
There you go. All right. Look at that, Act Deft. You might be a star. You better go trademark that before Paul gets to it. All right. All joking aside, Paul, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. And best of luck. And we're going to keep an eye on you and what's coming out of your studio since it sounds like you have some really hilarious stuff. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show sometime.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. No problem. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Again, that is Cat President, The Beard in the Mirror. And what was the Nigerian Prince? My Nigerian Prince.
That's pretty awesome.
That's great. Dungeon Buster was a fan of that interview, saying great interview, love how they came up with the idea for the game. Yeah, me too. I did not realize there was, I mean, obviously I did a little research and I knew he had a new game coming out, but somehow I missed that he had these other games about the Nigerian prince. Oh, that's funny. So good sense of humor over there. Best of luck to them as it develops. And I also love the message there that yes, anybody can make a game and that there's tools out there to do it and so forth. And you know, I think doing a visual novel would be fun. Maybe I can handle a visual novel.
Probably.
I wouldn't have to do physics. Physics is where gaming gets scary.
Well,
of course, I have a good friend that does physics for video games, but it's still scary.
I will see the kind of go back on not getting anything done because, you know, it's a mental thing. I've been trying to get something done, you know, been trying to figure out how I'm mentally going to be able to focus on something. And so I found what my problem has been is not that the scope is too big, because I don't give a shit about the size of the scope. It's about the pieces. I'm like, you know, already thinking about how I'm gonna optimize an engine before I even build an engine, which is stupid. So what I decided is I'm gonna just break it down into incredibly small pieces. Like, today we're gonna make something that I can move in a grid. Done. You know, and tomorrow we'll make something that, you know, I can spawn blocks in a grid. And go. I mean, that's because those smaller chunks I'm able to focus on instead of like, crap, I got to figure out how I'm going to make this like engine run, and I got to figure out everything before I even start programming. No, it's not going to work that way.
All right. Well, I should look into these visual novel development software that he was talking about there. Maybe I can do my dream visual novel game.
Yeah, the one you're thinking about for Five Nights at Freddy's, that was Click Team Fusion, and they just had that on Humble Bundle not too long ago.
Let's see. I'm going to do a visual novel. The co-host who couldn't love Nintendo. I think I'll do that. I think I'll do that as a visual novel.
That is so untrue. I loved Nintendo one time. It's just unfortunately Nintendo started doing all this weird shit, got into some weird crowds, and just
it's hanging out with the
wrong
cat.
It's not the same Nintendo that I used to know a long time ago. And yeah.
Best of luck again. And the Beard in the Mirror, it looks like our chat room is actually checking that out on Steam right now, and it is out this Tuesday. So a very timely interview there. And for our podcast audience, most of you will probably hear this when that game is live, so go check that out on Steam. I'm sure you can just put it in the search box and you can find that Cat President. But My Nigerian Prince is over on itch.io, so check that out over there. All right, we're gonna get into our gaming weeks before we get into gaming news. So let's talk about what types of video games we have been playing this week. Loki.
So my big gaming week was because on Monday I decided I'm going to pick up a PlayStation VR, and so I did.
Oh, so after the show last week, you ended up being kind of sold on VR.
Yeah,
through the experience
so I picked it up, and I actually dig it quite a bit. The control issues that I've seen and stuff, a lot of it's not so bad, but it is kind of broken a little bit. For example, there's a really bad problem that they have with the screen drifting. So you'll be playing a game and it's slowly drifting to the left for no reason. It's just the issue with the tracking, and it's a software issue, which is weird. I think from what I've heard, it's because you're close to being outside of the distance that the camera can pick you up in or something like that. And when you're kind of on the outside of that, if you go more towards the center, that it's able to pick you up a little bit better, because I know the way my couch is, which my room's not all that big that I play it in my living room. I thought I'd be able to sit comfortably on the couch and be able to play it just fine, but apparently it's just like a few inches shy of being too far away from the camera, which is really silly.
I almost feel like Bobby was talking about that exact same problem on his show last week. He was talking almost about like a very similar thing. Then he had to sit forward on the couch.
Right, yeah, exactly. And I had to like sit. I had to scoot the couch up a little bit. And I'm always worried to do that because my cat's a retard, and she will like go behind the couch and like lay there or something, and then I'll scoot the couch back and crush her to the death. So I mean, I always got to watch out for the cat trying to kill herself. But no, I played. And once again, thank you, Shane. He's our pusher for when it comes to the gaming stuff. So
SSG 100 Matt in chat calling that out. Shane's hero's power of making people buy things got to Loki. It didn't get to me.
It's not him that got me to buy it. It's trying it that got me to buy it. Because if I had tried it probably at Best Buy, I probably would have picked it up. I wouldn't have canceled my pre-order. I would have just had to find some way to be able to pay for it. So I did pick up, ironically enough, I picked up Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, which honestly, that is not a game I'm remotely, like a genre that I'm remotely interested in at all. I don't like horror games at all, but this game is fucking awesome. So I don't know. It's just weird. It's a shooting gallery game that's like, my best comparison is it's Toy Story Mania meets Saw. Is basically what it is.
See, I would like to play the Toy Story Mania game, because Shane did make me play that finally. I think it was after the show I finally sat down and played that game, and I had to stop. Like, there was just too many jump scares, and I was not
really
having it.
I didn't see there wasn't that many jump scares for me.
Okay, but he picked the course that was the worst one. And to the opposite of Shane's power or whatever you want to call it, that is the worst thing to do. If he knows I don't like scary games, he should have started
me on a
soft
scare. They did have some jump scares, but like it was more of like, you got me. That's pretty funny. It's like something's going to jump out and stuff. Like I played through about three of the levels so far in Rush of Blood. So the first one you start off, and I think that's the one you had me play here. It's basically you're going through everything, and then you gas at the end. And so they're kind of teaching the mechanics of the game and stuff and shooting stuff. The second level is the one that they have in the actual demo on the PlayStation VR disc, which is basically this thing where you go into a slaughterhouse type thing, and all of a sudden all the pigs come alive and start squealing and the saws
going on. That
was
the stage he made me play.
Yeah, with
gross.
The dolls and stuff like that, and like it's kind of creepy. The third stage is like a ghost stage, and so they've basically got this woman that's shooting crows at you a lot of the time, and so you have to kind of shoot those away. But there's one part that's pitch black that you're going through with these mannequins that it's like the Silent Hill nurses almost. Like the mannequins move when you're not looking at them, and they kind of like creep up in your face and stuff. So that was kind of creepy but fun. It's an entertaining type game, and I actually had quite a bit of fun just playing that. The other game I picked up was Job Simulator, which it's a fun game to mess around with, and my son likes playing it, even though he is too short for that game. So, like, that's one of the things I don't really like about PlayStation VR, and this is basically a software thing. The calibration stuff is not always easy to get to in the middle of a game. Like, when I was trying to adjust it for him, you know, you can raise and lower the floor so that you're taller or shorter, depending on what that is. And I really wish they had a way to kind of calibrate that, like they do, I think, with the Vive, where you put a controller on the floor, put a controller on top of your head or something like that, so they know your height and kind of scale everything based on that, or at least make you taller based on that. Because that would have been really helpful, because I just kind of had to wing it to see if he would be tall enough. And even still, he had to, like, when I did it uncalibrated, he's like, okay, you got to take the paper out of the thing. He's like trying to reach up and grab the paper, and it's just too far away. Or, oh, you got to get a coffee cup to fill it with coffee, and he couldn't reach the top shelf, which is pretty funny. But it's a fun game, but I think it's something, and I kind of was worried about when I bought it too, that I'm going to get bored with really fast. Like, you play it through all the levels like once or twice, and you're just like, okay, I've seen everything there is to see in this. So I was a little bit worried of that. I did play a lot of the demos, though, that were on the demo disc. So, like, one of the ones I liked was Drive Club. A lot of people say that makes them sick. I never had a problem with motion sickness in that game, though. What I did find funny, though, about it is it's a game that you're supposed to be sitting down in. And so I didn't do that. I stood up or moved my head to the side. So it's like I had my head sticking out the top of the roof or out the side window and stuff. That was kind of silly. But the game does look like shit graphically. It's just not pretty, but it's all right. The one game I really liked the demo for was Eve Valkyrie. Totally would play that if it was a single player game, but I hear the single player campaign's $30, the game is $60, and it's a multiplayer game, and I'm not playing that. But the demo is so fucking awesome. It's just like, man, if this was like Colony Wars or something like that, that was like a single player campaign that was, you know, several hours long, I would totally be down for this, but it's just, no, I'm not really into playing a multiplayer online game like that. I played Rigs, which is all right. Same kind of thing with that. It was all right. It was kind of fun to play. It would be more fun like an Armored Core type game, but I just don't want to play a multiplayer online game. I just am not really interested in that, especially with VR. I mean, being kind of not entirely, you know, twitchy enough, I guess it's not that sensitive, but I don't know. I like the Eve Valkyrie demo, man. Like, even just playing it, you just get so psyched when you're playing it, but it's so short. I'm just not going to drop $60 for that short of a campaign, though. And it's kind of unfortunate. So I'll just the way. And then, like, I didn't end up playing, like, Rez. I thought about picking up Rez, but I think that's something, once I play through it, I'm going to be done with it. And that's kind of how I was with the old Rez. And PlayStation Worlds is just a tech demo, so no, not picking that up either.
You gotta try Thumper, though, if you haven't.
I think Thumper looked cool. Yeah. I mean, I may try that. I don't know. That might be something I may pick up. I'm just gonna wait to see what more stuff comes out for it. I know there's like some roller coaster game and stuff later on that might be kind of fun, but yeah, I'm very hopeful for it. I hope that these tracking issues that they have maybe will be patched out eventually, so I'm hopeful for that. Otherwise, the Move controllers worked okay. It does have some trouble, like especially in Job Simulator, where you can kind of turn all the way around. Obviously, it has trouble tracking the Move controllers when they're behind you, so you have some weird stuff that happens with that, but it wasn't terrible. It was all right.
Maya in chat says, VR is one of the first times in my life I felt old and cantankerous and uninterested in tech progress in video games. Yeah, I'm a little on that side where it's the whole, like, after I play it for, like, 20 minutes, like, I need a break. You know, that's what I'm worried about with it.
Oh, I played it for several hours, and it wasn't a problem.
Wow. You know, I did see I saw the VR available at Target, so it's not, like, sold out everywhere.
No, it's not. And, like, I
thought about it.
I got mine at GameStop, and what it is, I just checked to see if they had it, you know, on the show. I checked to see if any of them had it nearby, and one did. So I picked it up, and that was that. Yeah, I mean, it's not terribly hard to find. It's just... it may be okay to wait a little bit to, you know, because there's not a whole ton of games out for it right now. And if some of these, like, you know, multiplayer games aren't really what you're looking for, you might want to wait. Like, I know they're supposed to be adding a VR mode to Trackmania, which that I could see is vomit-inducing, but I do want to play that because Trackmania was an awesome game.
That's weird that you say there's not a lot of games when that list we read the other week was gigantic. Yeah, but there was it was a lot of, like, kind of one-trick pony
type games,
right?
It's also coming soon stuff, and a lot of them are just like... like, for example, the Star Wars one that they have with Battlefront, that's just a patch to Battlefront. So if you own Battlefront, you can get that. But I'm not paying $60 for a tech demo.
All right, fair enough. A good question here before we move on. With SSJ100 Matt says, did Mrs. Loki or the kids try it out?
Yeah, my wife tried out. I put her on the it was the PlayStation Worlds demo that they had. So it's basically the sea one where they drop you down in, like, a cage and you're kind of just drifting down looking at fish. I think my youngest son would probably like that, but he didn't want to put the headset on. My oldest son, he wanted to try a job simulator, but his hands are too small for the Move controller, so he has a hard time reaching the triggers. He still had fun with it, but it's too hard for him to play, I think, because those controllers are too big for him.
And did Mrs. Loki go, I'm okay with you spending the money after playing the demo? Or?
Oh, no. I just told her that I sold my my Oculus Rift to pay for it, which is what I'm going to do. I just haven't quite done in that order yet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because honestly, my Rift, I haven't played it in a long time. It's just sitting in a bag, so you might as well sell it because eventually I'll get a Vive or something, and I don't need that.
Right, fair enough. All right. Anything else for your gaming week you want to share?
Just Ingress. I've been trying to not play as much, but unfortunately I've played more. So, yeah.
I kind of know those feels, but that's all right. Moving on to my gaming week. Honestly, it's been a lot of the MMO space. I've still been playing World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy XIV, kind of juggling those games, especially, you know, despite some of the things I was saying about FanFest last week. Even though the event itself had issues, I still felt very motivated, and probably a lot of that was hanging out with, you know, some of my people that I play the game online with, and, you know, just the general fact that I just think that game is really great, and, you know, it keeps expanding with these patches on things to do. So I've been still playing that. Try not to completely lose sight of the consoles and stuff, but the one other game that did divert me for a little bit this week on PC, you know, I had to check out Civilization VI.
Of course.
Was released this weekend, so of course I had to check it out. Now, unfortunately, I was out of town all day yesterday, so and that would have normally been my time to spend some more quality time with a game that was released on Friday. So I couldn't really spend a lot of time with Civ 6, but I played a little bit. I have a tradition, as I've done with Civ 5, and when the expansions came out for that, I will do a new game as the Queen of England, because that's how I always play Civilization. So I started a new game in Civ 6 as the Queen of England, and I have to say, I was kind of not ready for, like, how different it feels, you know, and I realized that, okay, it's a sequel. They need to do some things that are different. But even Civ 5, I was like, okay, Civ 5 just feels like, you know, it's kind of like Civ 4, but now it's on a hexagons, and okay, they've changed some of the rules too. There's some other things. But like Civ 6, like, I don't know what it is with the whole fact that, you know, now when you have your, they're not settlers, or no, not, I'm sorry, not settlers, but workers are now builders. And the builders, you can't just automate anymore. You have to kind of strategically choose what type of building goes in what square in your city. And that's very new for a Civ game. And that really made me stop and think. And then now there's not just a tech tree, but like culture has a tree that's different from what it was in Civ 5, where it was more like a talent tree. Now it's like straight up enhancements as well. So a lot of those differences really kind of left my head spinning. And I'm like, all right, I need to really roll this back and like start as a, I know it asks you in the beginning of the game, are you new to games or new to are you new to the series or are you new to Civilization? And kind of tailors the tutorial built on that. I kind of feel like I need to go back and say, I'm new to all these games to really kind of get the stuff from the ground up, because I just felt boy, I felt lost and out of it. But that doesn't mean I didn't like it. I kind of actually think that's a good thing that it's so different that it made me really stop and think. But, you know, the presentation and everything, it still felt very Civ, and I know I'm going to have a lot of fun with this. So I'm going to continue to explore this game, LOL pun, in the coming days. I honestly maybe spent like an hour and a half tops with it the other day. So I feel like I'm not at a stage where I can really critique the game. I can just say that, you know, wow, I was really kind of woo at first at how different it was from Civ 5. But I'm also really looking forward to being able to play online with some other people and losing an entire weekend to Civilization 6, because that's what these games do to us. I'm sure there will likely come a day where Bobby and I play that game for a very, very, and maybe we can, because I know Spike from Game Buoy and some of his friends, I think First Mate Slidekick, I know they all played, we used to play the Civ 5, so I'm sure we could set up some type of like VOG host-a-thon. I don't, when's the Extra Life event? I think Extra Life is the weekend I'm in Chicago, though, but maybe kind of around that we could do some type of marathon event for a charity, some good cause, and it would be very easy to spend all day playing Civ 6. Anyway, we'll have to check everybody's schedules and see if we can work something out. Let's see, going into our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Kaijudo says, I heard Civ 6 is horse shit. Well, I didn't feel that from the first little bit that I played. I did read a review online that said, it said something completely different than my first impression. The review I read said, it's really similar to Civ 5, and like I didn't get that at all. But maybe I didn't play, I played a bit of Civ 5, but I didn't play it a long, long, long time like a lot of people did. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something there. Let's see, Dungeon Buster says, I want Civ 6, but I've been playing Shadow Warrior 2. SS2800 Matt says, I forgot Civ 6 came out. It's for the best, I didn't get it right away. Otherwise, I would turn around and realize that it's Tuesday and I still want to do one more turn. And Kaijuda saying, people are saying they turned Civ into a tablet game.
That was like Civilization Revolutions, wasn't it, though?
Yeah, that was the tablet game. Well, but here's the crazy thing. They also had Civilization Revolution on the Xbox 360, and I really liked that game for what it was. Like, I didn't see it as a tablet game so much as I saw it as like it was more like the original Civilization than anything else they'd put out around that time. And because maybe I remember the original Civilization the best, and that's the one that really made me fall in love with the series, maybe that's why I'm a little bit partial to it, but I don't know. Like, I guess I could see, though. I mean, it's, if all you're using is your mouse for point and clicking, I mean, you could probably do the same thing on a tablet. But I didn't really walk away with that impression that, like, oh, this was designed for an iPad. Like, it seems to look better than that on my monitor. I didn't walk away with that impression. So, SSG100 Matt says, is it a different jump like Civ 4 to Civ 5 to Civ Revolution or Civ 5 to Civ Beyond Earth? I would say with Civ 6, I would say it's kind of like, I guess Civ 5 to Beyond Earth is a decent comparison, but Beyond Earth was still in the Civ 5 engine, so there was a lot of feeling in that, and this one is definitely, you know, they've kind of gone back and reinvented everything, but I would say that comparison is probably a little closer, because Civ 4 and 5 were really stripped down for Civ Revolution. And I don't think this game's been stripped down at all. So, anyway, that's my initial thoughts on a few quick minutes with Civilization VI. So, let's get into some housekeeping, and then we'll get into the news. First, we will not be having a show on November 13th. That's Veterans Day weekend. I will be out of town. However, we will be doing something because we have to have an episode 665 of some sort to keep us on track to have episode 666 on 20 November. So we will do something pre-recorded. It just might be a shorter show, but it won't be live. So you folks that turn out here live, you'll undoubtedly get to hear something new at 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock that night, depending on your time zone, but it won't be live, just so you know. Otherwise, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR, or we are on Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio. Gaming news. There was a lot of it. Let's get to it. Loki.
Yeah, so apparently the SAG-AFTRA unit has officially called for a voice actor strike against several gaming companies, including Activision, EA, and Take-Two. They did say that, you know, this is due to, I guess, failing to renegotiate their contracts with the terms that they wanted. Basically, they This will affect, or it could possibly affect, games that went into production after February 17th of 2015. So maybe some of these games that are on the slate for like next year and stuff. That's kind of unfortunate. I know that some of the names I saw on there, they had like quite a few like well-known voice actors that are part of that. But yeah,
I know I saw Jennifer Hale on the list. Will Wheaton had an article about it on his blog, even though I don't think, well, I guess he is participating in it one way or another, although, you know, he doesn't do a lot of voice acting. I know he's done some for games. So yeah, there's it's definitely impacting. There was also a list out there of what games it impacts, and it does not affect Mass Effect Andromeda. But I would imagine because the voice acting in that game has probably already been sealed up, they're not doing any more work on that. But if there were to be DLC to come for that game, then that would be at a pause, depending on how far they are with that. But I think a lot of us are hoping they work out these differences relatively quickly so that this doesn't get...
Right, because remember like the acting strike and or the writer strike that they had for, you know, TV and stuff, that kind of fucked up a lot of shit. So
yeah, that killed that killed the TV show Heroes. Remember that?
Yeah, well, season two kind of sucked too, but you know, that's here.
Well, that was the season that got abbreviated by the strike. It was supposed to go longer, but it didn't. Anyway,
thank God they cut it short, put it out of its misery. Shit, man.
What do you think? I've been reading a little bit on the strike, and you know, buddy, our buddy Rama texted me to a Facebook post that a prominent voice actor has made, and I do get a lot of their concerns. I mean, especially when we talk about the whole fact that, you know, 4 hours of screaming, you know, and recording those voices, that is going to take a toll on the voice. You know, when we do this show here, you know, we can do this for 3 hours, but
I like to fill it with 3 hours of screaming sometimes.
Sometimes you do, and I don't know how your voice doesn't hurt the next day. But for the most part, maybe Loki aside, we're not sitting here screaming constantly for the entire time the show is on. But I will tell you this. You guys have all heard this show, is that you guys know that sometimes I host sometimes, and I do that type of stuff. I host theater, specifically a lot of Rocky Horror, although that's going to be more cult movies in December. But actually, funny enough, here in SAC, we have a Rocky Horror show coming up next week. So I can tell you right now, when I host Rocky Horror on Saturday night, that's not even 3 hours. That's like maybe 30 minutes of me having to use a very loud, boisterous voice while I'm doing the pre-show and doing some light stand-up and doing the initiations and things like that. That's like 30 minutes maybe. I will come in here on Sunday and my voice will sound like this. Like, I will not have a good voice. So I can't imagine doing something like that for, I mean, God, 2 hours, let alone
especially
four.
If you're doing like weird voices and stuff, who knows? Yeah. It's even harder when you change up your voice.
So a lot of those safety concerns I get, and I also understand a lot of the concerns when it comes to the secrecy of the projects that are involved. And they did make a very good point about like sometimes the things are so clamped down that they can't really necessarily get a sense of what the character is and all this other stuff. And so, I mean, reading the post made a lot of sense. And the Will Wheaton post is really good, too, in laying that all out there. Now, I also just, so you know, I also can see a little bit of it from the other side where they're saying, why should the actors get residual payments when nobody else who works on the game and develops the game gets residual payments?
Yeah, I kind of, you know.
I don't know. And a lot of the response I feel like I'm seeing, at least based on comments, so take it with a grain of salt, but a lot of the response I'm seeing is, well, maybe those people need to ask for it too. I don't know. I can sort of see where the residual payment, like I get that, especially like if you're marketing your game based on the fact that, let's say, Mark Hamill is back doing the Joker, and that's a big selling point for your game, then yeah, he's probably entitled to some residuals. But I'm not saying that the programmers and some of the people behind the scenes don't necessarily deserve some of those as well. But I think the more immediate thing that they really need to figure out is some of these safety concerns. You know, the safety with the motion capture, the safety with the 4 hours of screaming and all this stuff. I do think there's a valid argument to be made there. This contract hasn't really been looked at since what, the 90s was probably the last time they did this, when Tim Curry was starring in Gabriel Knight was how long ago, and not that remake that was, I could do a whole show on that. But anyway, when Tim Curry was doing Gabriel Knight, and it was just different then. It was completely different than the industry is now. So I can see why a lot of this needs to be reevaluated. Regardless, I hope they're able to solve it sooner rather than later. And especially these safety issues. So we'll see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Raginator says, I wouldn't mind 3 hours of Sky's Diva rants on OLR. Be careful what you ask for. SSGO100 Matt says, from what I've heard from going to voice acting panels, some of these developers can really screw over these actors, like making them do all the yelling and screaming lines in the beginning of the sessions and not the end, resulting in ruined voices for a while. ActDef says, basically, Voice Actors Guild needs to be on par with the Screen Actors Guild, or almost on par. Well, that's kind of what this is, because SAG is Screen Actors Guild, so yeah. A lot of these folks are represented by Screen Actors Guild, which merged a few years ago with AFTRA, which, sorry, guys in the industry, don't be mad if I get this wrong, but I think covers a lot more of the Broadway talent, like live theater and those sorts of things. There's probably more to it as well. But generally, it just involves acting in all different types of forms, and that would, of course, be an umbrella for voice acting as well. So anyhow, I hope they're able to figure that out, because, again, you know, we're going to feel it with some of the game releases. And if you think we've got a drought of games this year, if this goes on for a while, that could cause some games to get delayed. I mean, it could cause, I don't know. Do you think AAA studios would look to using non-union talent? I know this is a highly controversial issue that we are probably have no authority to speak on whatsoever, but it's not stopping Twitter from doing it. So do you think that these AAA companies would be bold enough to use non-union talent?
I'm telling you, Gilbert Gottfried's going to get so much work now.
Gilbert Gottfried's under SAG, though. He would be able to do it. Yeah. You'll see more contests like the one BioWare had a couple weeks ago to get in the mat. Remember when we acted out that scene on air? Which, by the way, no phone call from EA. Isn't that disappointing? That's so disappointing, Louie. Anyway. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about one of those games that could be impacted. This is rumor. Tinfoil hat. Get out the wheel of plausibility for this one. didn't we have a theme song for the wheel of plausibility? I think we did. It's time to spin the wheel of plausibility. All right, I'm already over that song. Could Diablo 4 be something that is revealed at BlizzCon 2016?
Could it? Because it is a Blizzard game. Therefore, yes, it could be.
And apparently what's causing all this is a four-sided die. It's a D4 die that I get. Is that being found in a BlizzCon bag? Or what? I guess something. They're finding a D4 die is somehow associated with BlizzCon and Blizzard, and I guess the numbers are printed wrong on this die, and the dates that it reads are the dates for BlizzCon 2016, November 4th. So could Diablo 4 be happening on November 4th? Also, I guess somebody over at PC Gamer was reporting that David Brevik, who was a project lead on Diablo 2, and senior producer Bill Roper were spotted at Blizzard headquarters. And this is just adding fuel to the fire. So could Diablo be happening at BlizzCon, Diablo 4? Well, probably. Here's the thing. Something Diablo is happening at BlizzCon. It makes complete fucking sense. World of Warcraft's expansion released like 2 months ago. They're not going to release a new expansion, or they're not even going to announce a new expansion for Warcraft.
I mean, this isn't Sims we're talking about here.
Overwatch, I feel, is still a little new. You might get your new character. This whole Sombra thing might happen at BlizzCon, but I don't see any radical changes with Overwatch. Maybe StarCraft. There's been those rumors of a remaster. I don't know. But this really leaves Diablo as the franchise that is going to have some attention paid to it this year. But Diablo 4? I don't know. I kind of think it's an expansion for Diablo 3. Because the story at the end of the last expansion was kind of left wide open for an Act 6. I suppose that could go into a new game. I suppose there's a lot of reasons why Blizzard might want to just jump into Diablo 4. And a lot of it is probably tied to the fact that there is still negative stigma around Diablo 3 because of the way it was when it launched and the auction house and all that stuff. Even though Diablo 3 now is completely different from when it launched. And I think it's a game that's definitely worth checking out. But I just don't know. I have a hard time believing it's all the way to Diablo 4. I tend to think it's a new expansion before I think it's Diablo 4. But if it is Diablo 4, Cool. I guess I'll be curious to see what kind of changes and updates they make to it. But Loki, you don't really care because you don't play Diablo, huh?
I don't, unfortunately.
You know that all that stuff's on consoles too, though.
So, I know, and yeah. I keep every time I'm I sure see it on sale, I'm tempted to buy it, but yeah. I just never do.
SSG100 Matt in chat says, just sitting here waiting for a Lost Vikings sequel. Maybe someday, maybe someday. By the way, speaking of Blizzard, their Battle.net launcher, which of course is used on PC to launch the various multiplayer games, such as Diablo or World of Warcraft, it just added voice chat into it, which, oh yeah, we're not supposed to call it Battle.net anymore. Remember that? No, it's still Battle.net to me, so I'm breaking the rule. The Battle.net launcher has added voice chat into it. So Blizzard Voice is what they're calling it. And it is a voice chat that will work across the different multiplayer titles. So it's kind of like Steam's voice chat, since, you know, Blizzard games aren't on Steam and you have the separate launcher for it. So you can talk to friends or even friends of friends inside or even outside of games as long as you have the Battle.net program open. And this will allow you to talk to people. Like, so I could be playing World of Warcraft and my buddy could be playing Overwatch, and I could talk to them across those games. Which, I mean, it's Xbox Live on your PC, but, you know, for things that are through the Battle.net launcher. So they're talking about high quality voice and superior stability. I'd be very curious what this is going to do for things like Warcraft rating, because we used to use like Ventrilo. But I would imagine services like that are starting to fade, especially now that like Discord has a pretty good voice chat in it, and that's becoming an option for a lot of gamers. A lot of my Final Fantasy 14 stuff is going to Discord. And then I know, you know, now that these games have it like built in is a big thing for people as well. So anyway, also, you are not able to talk to friends that are, you can't talk to people that are not in your friends list during random pickup games. That still has to be enabled, I would imagine, by the game. So I guess you can do it in Overwatch, but you can't do it in, say, Diablo. Even World of Warcraft at one time had voice chat built into it, but it was awful. I wonder if they haven't stripped it out of the game to replace with this. So anyway, that is what's going on with Blizzard. Of course, their big convention is, what, less than 2 weeks away at this point, so I'm sure we will hear plenty more very soon. Meanwhile, Loki, other big gaming news this week.
Yeah, so this week, not only actually the same day as the Switch video, they had the first trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2. So that'll be coming out fall of 2017 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Nothing announced yet for like PC. But one of the things that they did announce was that there's going to be select content for Red Dead Redemption 2 that'll come first to PlayStation 4. So they're going to have a brand new online multiplayer experience that'll be coming first to PlayStation 4. So the way I picture that is just like Grand Theft Auto Online. I'm guessing that they're talking about like content, like how they do the free content updates for Grand Theft Auto Online. So that'll be similar with like Red Dead Online or whatever the case may be for that. Cool. I mean, the trailer was pretty. Definitely something I'll pick up when it comes out.
And that's important, a pretty trailer.
We don't know too much about it, but it sure looks nice. I mean, that's all we have to go by.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to admit, I didn't really get super into the last Red Dead Redemption, but I thought it was neat. But, you know, again, it's just one of those games that MMOs keep me away from playing and all the other stuff that I tend to play as well. So there you go. However, one game that I did take a little time out to play, and I need to go back and play it again a little more, is Doom, because Doom now has an arcade mode in it. Yes, that's right. Doom got an update this week. It was the fourth free update that they've done on Steam, and it added the arcade mode. Arcade mode now unlocks all guns, suit upgrades, runes, and you now play in a multiplayer-based scoring system that rewards aggression and accuracy. You play every level with all guns, runes, and equipment fully unlocked. You compete against friends and players worldwide for the highest score by attacking demons quickly, avoiding attacks, and grabbing multipliers on the way. So I guess it's more fast-paced thing. I want to check this out. It sounds pretty cool. And there also is another Doom multiplayer pack called Hell Followed that's coming out on October 27th. So, man, they're keeping the updates coming for that new Doom game, which, you know, it's really... it really is one of the better releases of the year, I think, which was kind of surprising because I think with, you know, a lot of these reboots, sometimes they miss the mark, but Doom's pretty awesome. And the fact that they continue to support it with a good balance between free and DLC and paid stuff, I think just does the game a even more credit, to be honest. So snaps for you folks making Doom. Moving on, Loki.
All right, so this is kind of unfortunate, but United Front Games has apparently shut down. United Front Games, they were responsible for some of the Sony games, Mod Nation Racers, Little Big Planet Karting, and then more recently, Sleeping Dogs. And apparently, they were working on a multiplayer brawler game called Smash and Grab, but I guess it just recently hit Steam Early Access. But I'm guessing now that, I don't know. I guess, is that not being finished now? I mean, like most Steam Early Access games, I guess. Yeah, that's unfortunate. So,
yeah, it's never good news when game studios close, you know?
Mm. Yeah. So apparently, yeah, it rumored to be, closing based off of, I guess, a post on NeoGAF, and then GameSpot had confirmed it with somebody close to the studio, so that's unfortunate.
All right, moving on to some news out of Sony and what's going on with PlayStation tournaments. Earlier this week, Sony announced that they are teaming up with ESL, which is a gaming network, and going to be hosting a digital month-long basketball tournament. And this is going to be through NBA 2K17. So from October 27th, which is this coming week, through November 26th, there are going to be major cup rounds every Saturday. And the tournament is based on NBA 2K17. If you're one of the top three players at the end of the tournament, you get a prize pack with PlayStation gear, controllers, and all that good stuff. Of course, if you want to participate, you do need the game to be able to play. You do have to have a PlayStation Plus subscription, I imagine, so you can play online. And you do want to get an account with the ESL gaming site. So you have to register for the tournament beforehand at ESL, and then you're automatically prompted when your time to compete comes. No idea how large the player pool is going to be. Everything, though, they are saying one versus one. Sony wants to expand this with other tournaments moving forward. So that's kind of cool. And Microsoft, of course, did something similar at Game Developers Conference when they talked about the Xbox Live tournament platform, which allows folks to make tournaments via Xbox Live. So it's only logical that Sony kind of makes a similar step with this. Of course, since sports games aren't really up my alley, I can appreciate that they exist and that they bring a lot more gamers into the market. But so this particular tournament, I can't say I'm getting super excited about. But, you know, maybe it would be cool if there were tournaments for other types of games as well, not just necessarily sports games. And I'm sure we will see that if things like this do well. So to be continued. Maybe I'll get a tournament for Diablo 4 in 2019. Who knows? Who knows? All right, Loki, before we get to the classic game of the week, what do you have?
So there was a mod that was made for Grand Theft Auto 5 that was kind of silly. It replaced the sticky mines or the C4 that you have with a Samsung Galaxy Note. Because, you know, that's silly. You know, someone basically can throw that and it sticks to something and explodes. And so they had a video that was on YouTube. And then, of course, it got a DMCA takedown from Samsung. And they didn't apparently like it too much.
Wow.
However, recently YouTube, though, has reinstated the video because the creator filed a counterclaim against Samsung. So you can go check it out. That's kind of unfortunate that people are using DMCA to, you know, abuse of automated systems on YouTube, you don't say.
Did you see that whole thing? I think it was Reddit or Twitter. Somebody had this linked, but like some guys got a threatening email that said,
yep,
give us $1,000 or we're going to copyright strike your YouTube channel out of existence. And they did it. They didn't pay the $1,000. They got copyright striked out of existence. And that really just makes me go, wow, I don't want to ever produce content.
Isn't that wonderful that YouTube Heroes exists so that we can now have people do that even quicker? That's so fucking fantastic, YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube needs to fix this. There needs to be recourse against fakers. And I think stuff like this is only just going to make this happen even faster. At least I hope it does, or else YouTube is going to, you know, some folks are trying to up the competition now. There's this VidMe is something newer that's coming out. The Twitch for gaming, Twitch allowing the uploads on their side now. That's a pretty big step. So, I mean, YouTube kind of needs to figure this out, or they're going to...
It's being abused. And the bad thing about it, too, is it's, you know, one of their complaints to the channel that got taken down, they were saying that, you know, if they were a larger channel, YouTube would have resolved this already. But because their numbers are smaller, that YouTube doesn't give a shit about them. And I kind of feel that's the case.
Oh, for sure. For sure. There needs to be some type of legal recourse that these guys can take with the fakers. And, yeah. Could they even... I know this might sound ridiculous, but I have to throw it out there. Could they attempt to, like... sue YouTube for lost income that their videos could be granting because it was fake and that they have evidence that they were blackmailed or whatever?
Well, I don't really know if they can. I mean, because
I'm not a lawyer. That should be obvious.
Well, they have a lawyer that's already helping them out. Ryan Morrison, the video game attorney, kind of jumped in to help them out.
Nice.
I know they contacted FUPO, which is that H3H3 Productions a bunch of different YouTubers created this account that
those guys can't fix every single story. It shouldn't be their job to fix it. It should be YouTube's.
Right. But YouTube is a fucking clusterfuck. So yeah. they can't. There's too many things going on, but there's not enough humans checking all this shit.
Yeah. Oh no, I guess there's no easy answer. All right. Well, let's travel back to a simpler time. We're going to go back to a time when you didn't have YouTube and copyright strike or any of that stuff. It's time to go to the classic game of the week. But regretfully, our magic machine is broken this week, and there is no radio magic this week to bring Dark Soccer to the show this week. So I apologize for that, but we'll work on getting that fixed so that we can have her here next week. So we're going to do what we do when Dark Soccer is off for other reasons other than a long-term absence, which, by the way, I did hear from her this week at least, and she does think that things are going to work out where she will be able to come back to the show in, like, January. I think it was early January, so around the holidays. So that's good. But we're going to do what we did usually when she would miss out on the show, and I'm going to pick a classic game of the week, or Loki would, but we decided I'll do it this week.
They vetoed my Halo pick, but, you know.
I said I don't want to get that phone call. I do not want that phone call. So let's get to the classic game of the week, and I picked a game on the Game Boy, and it's a game that I remember. I figured it was a Nintendo week, so I'll do something with the Game Boy. And this is a game that I remember playing an awful lot of when it first came out, and it's called Motocross Maniacs. Name of this. Did you ever play Motocross Maniacs on the Game Boy?
I don't remember.
Old school title on the Game Boy. It was a game that was by Konami, and it was kind of, which is interesting because I had no idea that it was by, sorry, the audio on that is really loud. Sorry, guys. I had no idea that that was a Konami game, although you can
remember this.
Kind of hear it in the audio because it looks like it could be like a sequel to Excitebike, doesn't it? And I think that's part of the reason I picked it up. Was originally when I was younger is because it looked like it was like a sequel to Excitebike. It was actually by Ultra Games, which was Konami. Come on, that was Konami. You know, that was the way they got around things in the U.S. But anyway, what you do in this game is you control a motorcycle and it moves pretty much in one direction, which is similar to Excitebike. But in Excitebike, you had that fakey 3D effect where you could move up and down the different lanes. No, Motocross Maniacs doesn't have that. Remember, this was on the original black and white Game Boy. It wasn't that complex. But what it had instead was that, you know, you could do all these wheelies and you were flying on ramps. And not only were you flying on, like, normal ramps, but you were flying on stuff that didn't exist in real life. Like, loops and, like, double, like, you'd hop from one loop to another loop and be flying all around. And, you know, it was fun to play when I was a kid. You would use your nitro boost just at the right time when you're going over one of these slopes and you would go flying. Now, that was a lot like Excitebike on the NES, so that's where some of those comparisons come from. But some of these levels are just, like, insane with the type of stuff that they're doing. And, of course, ridiculous things that would not exist in real life, like platforms floating in midair. But who cares? It's a video game. It's the Game Boy. See, look at that, Loki. Two loops. See that in the video right there?
Oh, my God.
That guy did back to back. Whoa, that's like Sonic the Hedgehog right there. But on a Game Boy. Anyway, you control the motorcycle and you can move the front wheel upwards or downwards. You do have a limited amount of fuel, but they call it a time bar in the game. And so you have to complete the course before you run out of fuel. You do have a limited amount of speed boosts. And there are letters like NTR. NTR is actually what you see in the bottom of the screen. NTR is short for nitro. But you can pick up more boosts like N, which is additional boosts. There's also extra fuel, which is the T. There is special tires, which is the R. And then there's also an S. That's increased speed, so that'll help you move even faster. You can also do combos by doing like front flips and back flips. And doing combos will get you a flying booster, which you'll see the little word jet appear. That will let you jump super high if you actually use Super Boost. Also, what was really cool about this game, again, for the Game Boy, which was released in North America, by the way, this game was out January 1990 in North America. Mm. And that was this was one of the earlier releases. It wasn't a launch title, but it was right around, like, it was the next wave of games. Japan, this came out from, this game was out in September 20th of 1989, was when this game was out in Japan, just, you know. But there were multiple paths that you could go in some of the levels. You know, the first level is pretty straightforward, but then later on you had multiple directions that you could go in, and one of the directions would have other power-ups in it as well. So, you know, you had to get those boosts down and use your nitros just at the right time so you could fly different ways and get through the different courses. There are 8 levels in the game, which, of course, get harder and harder as you move along. You can select any level at the beginning of the game. There's also A, B, and C difficulty level, which will change the time that you have to complete. And then there is single-player, single versus computer, and single player versus second player, where the second player will appear as a silhouette behind you. And you might remember in the days when the Game Boy was first released, it was huge on that link cable, right? So you'd use the link cable to link up to another Game Boy, and then you could actually play against somebody head-to-head. And there's that little Game Link logo right on the boss, right on the box to let you know that you could do that. So, and there's really not, I mean, it was a Game Boy game, so it was pretty simple, but it was one that I remember owning and really enjoying, so that's why I picked it as the classic game of the week. Motocross Maniacs is the classic game of the week. Loki, you never played it at all.
I never had a Game Boy. Mm-hmm. My friend did, so I may have played it on his, but that was years ago.
I do want to say, you know what this also, the game reminds me of Uniracers, which came out a long time later on Super Nintendo, but that was a Nintendo, or at least one of their like in-house dev teams that did that, mm-hmm. if I remember right. So that felt a lot like this. This game in some ways I think was ahead of its time, but the Game Boy platform kind of limits what it can do, I think. Because, you know, the Game Boy was a real simple piece of hardware. You know, it couldn't do super complex stuff. So there it is. Motocross Maniacs, check that out. Although I don't know if it's aged well. I don't know if you play it in an emulator, you're going to get the same thrill that you get on an actual Game Boy. But I think it is on Virtual Console. I could be wrong, but I think you can get that on Virtual Console.
Yeah, that would be a nice game we'd have a remake of, would be Uniracers. I like that game.
Oh, Uniracers was fun. I love the game. I should have done that as Classic Game of the Week. Maybe next time.
Yep.
Maybe next time. Although next time we want to hear Dark Sakura back here through the magic of radio. But anyway, since we didn't have the magic machine working this week, we are going to take a quick music break, but we will be back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. We've got rapid fire news in stores this week, the mailbag, although I'm not sure if we had anything in there, a few more stories, and of course, your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. All that is coming up when we come back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 662 for this October the 23rd of 2016. And boy, that felt, that's weird. It's been weeks since we've taken a music break. And, you know, I miss Dark Sakura. I wish she was still here so we could take music breaks more often. But that was nice. I know I can't play these on the podcast feed because otherwise, you know, it's, you know, copyright and all this stuff. But we played the new Christopher Tin song from Civilization VI. If you guys haven't heard it, it's out there on YouTube. You can check it out very easy. Or, you know, just check out Civilization VI. But the song that he does in that game, which translates to The Dream of Flight, which I believe is the music on the menu music, is really good. And a lot of our chat responded very positively to that. A lot of folks didn't even realize he had done contributions for Civilization VI. So there you go. I'm glad we could have done that there, at least for you live listeners. For you podcast folks, though, you get a whole internet out there. I'm sure you will find it. But be sure you join us here live sometimes. You don't miss out on that stuff. Sunday nights, of course, at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. And yes, I know if you don't watch The Walking Dead, some bitch is going to spoil it for you. But you know what? I've never seen an episode of that show, so I don't know what everybody's getting so excited about. I just don't. But hey, that's fine. That's fine. There's a lot of shows now because I don't know if you've had the same experience, Loki, but having this show on Sunday nights has ruined so much TV for me. I never get to see Game of Thrones. I never see Walking Dead. What's the other show that's on Sunday nights on AMC? Isn't there another big one that's – I don't know. But there's all these Sunday night shows that I never get to see and I just don't get excited about.
It's always Netflix.
I'm sure they're fine shows. I'm not shading them or whatever. It's just, you know, we're doing this instead. It's all good. Maya in chat says Westworld. Is that another Sunday night show?
Someone that watched was Westworld.
I've heard that one too. For me, it's like I got to do Netflix shows. That's like Stranger Things. That was great because it was only 8 episodes, so it didn't.
You can watch Black Mirror. That's another good one. We just started watching season 3 of that.
I think Shane was talking about that like right after we taped Pokestop podcast this morning. Is that he was talking about the by the way, new episode of Pokestop is up.
Kind of like Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
that's it. About technology.
Is it from the UK too?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, he was talking about that, and he said he's a really big fan of that. So I have to check that out.
Season 3 has been okay. The first episode of season 3, I did not like. It was kind of boring. Mm-hmm. The other ones have been all right.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got it. There's a ton of documentaries on Netflix I want to watch too. Like I don't know if you guys get into documentaries.
Well, they were starting to put some really good Disney stuff. Movies on there now, like modern Disney movies, like Zootopia is on there. My kids can't stop watching that.
Oh yeah,
that was a big deal. So I'm looking forward to when like the Marvel movies come out. Yeah.
All right. Let's do some rapid fire news and quickly talk about some other things going on in the industry. Loki.
So you'll be happy to know that finally that time has happened. The Last Guardian has gone gold. So yes, there won't be any more delays. Although I'm quite surprised that it's gone gold now, what being the middle of October, yet the game is not coming out for another, you know, month. You know, December is when it's due out now. So, but hey, there shouldn't be any more delays.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So,
and maybe the day one patch will be minimal.
Hopefully. And then, of course, there's a report that the HTC Vive has sold more than 140,000 units. So that's not too bad. I'm curious to see how much the other platforms have sold. In PlayStation VR, they're saying, you know, they're expecting to sell 2.6 million units by the end of this year. So, yeah, I mean, that's only a good thing. More units being out there means more people wanting to develop for those platforms, meaning more content.
Agree. You don't think the fact that it's all split across different platforms is going to hurt anybody?
I don't think so right now because really, PC-wise, you've got Oculus and Vive, and a lot of those games kind of work with each other. I mean, they've got, you know, they either support both or I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that big a difference. And even with like the PlayStation VR, you kind of have a little bit of both of that. You have some of those, you know, sitting experiences, and you have some that are like kind of in a little play space, kind of like the room stuff that with Vive. I'm sure it's not as intricate as the Vive stuff because I know it's a lot more powerful hardware, but I think it'll be interesting. It's going to be about getting that price point down, I think, eventually, you know, maybe in a couple years once those prices come down. Then a lot more people will be able to try it out.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, if they are compelling enough for you to get it, people don't have problems paying that Apple price or the price of a new phone. So, you know, it's all about being compelling enough for you to want to have that piece of hardware.
True.
Or being cheap enough to it being not such a risk to try it.
True. All right, well, let's talk about Xbox One backwards compatibility. You know, you got to give credit where credit's due, and Microsoft has really done an amazing job.
And I'm so disappointed that I don't see backwards compatibility reports for PlayStation. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I really thought that would have lit a fire under Sony to do the same thing, although I guess if Sony is still, quote-unquote, winning the war, they're not as motivated to have to do that. But I will give credit, big credit to Microsoft for sticking by this backwards compatibility thing. Like, I would have been surprised at all if they did it for a couple months and then quit, because that's kind of what Microsoft used to do. But I this is very nice that they're still making this happen and that they're still trickling out more games. And this week we got a big one. Orange Box went to the backwards compatibility list this week. That's huge. That's Portal. That's
Half-Life.
Team Fortress. That's Half-Life. You know, there's a lot of heavy hitter games in that, which I think was our favorite game of the year that the year that came out, or at least
it was a great. I'm looking for Valve to do another box.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they did another box set that had like Portal 3 and
it's Half-Life 3, Portal 3, Fortress 3, and Explode Internet.
Oh my god, the internet would just like collapse, like worse than it did over the weekend. It would just be wow. But anyway, I'm not going to get too ahead of myself. The good news is, you know what? Despite its age, the Orange Box is still a very solid set to play. Granted, Team Fortress has changed a lot, so I don't know about that one so much. But, you know, for Portal alone and for the Half-Life series, which is fucking great too, being on Xbox 360, I mean, it's just a solid list. Also, by the way, though, Joe Danger 2 the movie. I don't know what the fuck that is. I really... What is Joe Danger 2?
Joe Danger is it's a game where you're kind of doing, like, stunts. So it's... It's Hello Games, Other Games.
That's where that's from. It's Hello Games, Other Game. That's right. That's right.
So they have Joe Danger and Joe Danger 2, the
movie. Is that why Hello Games went radio silent on everything else? Is they were too busy prepping this game for backwards compatibility? Where the fuck did they go? Where the fuck did Sean go? Where did he go? Do you think he took the money and ran? Do you think he's in another country right now?
I
hope the dude's okay too. You know, I can say that and joke kind of tongue in cheek, but I also kind of wonder, like, did maybe a lot of this negative feedback, like, really?
It's okay. I mean, like, I seriously wouldn't be too bent out of shape about it. I mean, look at Spore. I mean, come on.
That's true. And you know what? Will Wright is and will always be one of the all-time greats in game development.
If Will Wright can make a Spore, right, then you could make it. No Man's Sky, I guess. I don't know.
Coming from you, that's a very, very nice way to put it. I think is a great positive message for Sean Murray, because I'm sure he's out there listening. Perhaps the journalists out there listening can relay that message for us to...
No, they're too busy writing articles about how a game about cats as a visual novel has ruined their life.
Galaga Legions, also backwards compatible on Xbox One, which was it was no Pac-Man Championship Edition, which I think is what they were trying to emulate in a way, but it's worth a look. It's worth a year of your time. A lot of people got into the Galaga Legions, so those got added to backwards compatibility. Pokemon Go got an update as well. Pokemon Go had an update this week that dealt with the Plus. The Plus, actually, they were saying it didn't do a great job of distinguishing Pokestops from Pokemon and so forth. I do notice the vibrations in that thing are different now. So you can notice what's different. And also, you can specify within the Pokemon Go app if you want to get just notifications for the actual Pokemon, for the Pokestops, or both. So that's something for me to keep in mind, because I am so low on Pokeballs right now that I'm thinking about maybe I need to run over to, like, a place where there's a ton of Pokestops here, either downtown or Old Fair Oaks or something, and just set that to Pokestop only mode and load up, because I am out of Pokeballs.
I have honestly not played Pokemon Go in weeks.
You know, I have found, I talked about this on Pokestop podcast, so I don't want to double talk myself too much, but I have been really motivated thanks to the Plus. I've been using it for more of my walking and exercise, and I'm hatching a lot of Pokemon. I'm not taking it that seriously. I'm just kind of using it as like a Fitbit for even bigger nerds, and it's working for that purpose. So that's why I get really irritated when I see all the stuff that's like Pokemon Go is dead and all this stuff. I'm like, but it's motivating me to exercise more. So for that alone, it's kind of a win. So just stop being a fucking cynical gamer community and let games be, I guess. I don't know. Anyway. Let's move on. We got to talk about what's in stores this week. What's on the shelves this week, Loki?
Quite a bit, actually, because, you know, we're in that busy fourth quarter. So starting this week, we've got Corpse Party for 3DS, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Exile's End on PlayStation 4 and Vita, Hide and Shriek on PC. I literally read that as Hide and Shrek when I first saw that. It's like, why are they making a Shrek game? Ginger Beyond the Crystal on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Just Dance 2017 coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, the Wii, the Wii U, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. King's Quest Chapter 5, The Good Knight on PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. Trillion, God of Destruction on PC. World of Final Fantasy on PlayStation 4 and Vita. Yomawari Night Alone on PC and Vita. Clockwork Empires on PC and Mac. Alice VR on PC, and basically all the other, you know, Vive and Rift platforms. Berserk on PS3, PlayStation 4, and Vita. Crow's Burning Edge on PlayStation 4. Neo Atlas 1469 on Vita. Through the Woods on PC. Weeping Doll on PlayStation VR. Carnival Games VR on the Vive and PlayStation VR. Dragon Ball Xenoverse coming out later in the week on PC as well. And then for some reason they have all these games releasing on that Friday, which is Titanfall 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Special Edition on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And then finally Hitman Hokkaido on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
I wonder if game releases won't switch to Fridays, because, you know, music did a couple years ago. Like, all the new releases are on Friday. I'm sure you were following the fact that Lady Gaga put out a new album on Friday.
I don't think it really necessarily follows that, because all the other media, like movies and stuff, come out on Tuesdays. Their release date's on Tuesday. But then again, they like to do these event things on Fridays and stuff, and true. I don't know. It's
whatever. All right. Well, heading over to Japan and looking at the releases there. Over in Japan on the PlayStation 4, Sword Art Online Hollow Realization is out in a limited edition this week. World of Final Fantasy is also out in Japan this week. And there is a game called Crow's Burning Edge. Mafia 3 gets its Japanese release as well. This is all on the 27th, which is a pretty busy day. Let's see. Just Dance 2017 out as well. I'm sorry, that's not Japan specific. That is other parts of Asia. But then we also have Berserk Musou is the other one that is out in Japan this week on the 27th. Heading on over to the Wii U. Yep, still pretty quiet on the Wii U. There's no releases, so we might be just removing these until there's something really, really big coming out in Japan. But on the PlayStation Vita, still going. Did you know World of Final Fantasy is out on the Vita in Japan? That is happening on the Vita in Japan. That is also out on the 27th. Neo Atlas 1469, also on the Vita. Which, you know, I just to backtrack a little bit, I think that kind of says a lot about this whole Switch thing. The fact that the Vita is still so big in Japan, I really think that Switch concept is going to go even further in Japan than it is here. I really do.
There's still tons of Vita games coming out here.
It seems like the portable life, especially.
Like, I want to say this week, there was more Vita games coming out than there were 3DS games.
Interesting. Huh. All right, well, other Japanese releases this week on the Vita, Neo Atlas 1469 and Saka Agari Hurricane Portable gets a limited edition. Also, that same Sword Art Online Hollow Realization also comes out on the Vita this week. So, busy, busy week on the Vita. And lastly, just checking the Nintendo 3DS, where there are still some releases, just a few things. We have Sonic Toon Fire and Ice, and then we have Downtown Neketsu Monogatari SP and Kamiwaza Wanda Kirakira Ichibangai Kikipatsu comes out this week. Those are the Japanese release dates. How about the UK, Loki?
Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Special Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and PC. World of Final Fantasy on PlayStation 4 and Vita. And Carnival Games VR on PC. And I imagine PlayStation VR as well. Mm. It's kind of more bridged there.
Just responding to what I had said there about the Japanese perspective, Akuma JP in our chat from Japan, lending that perspective over at live.vognetwork.com, saying, I can see that sky, but too big to carry around. So, you know, the fact that it's going to be bigger than a 3DS. So people don't do men not have purses in Japan? Because they have them here. They don't call them purses, of course, but they're man bags or
messenger bags.
Thank you, messenger bags.
The message I'm sending is that I'm a woman. Yeah.
Yeah. But the over the shoulder bags and that, like, more men are carrying those.
That is the thing. Like, it's not, I mean, granted, you can take it with you, but it's not all that portable. The only advantage is that it has a screen attached to it, but. Shit, I used to carry my systems around, you know, in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And if it has a screen attached to it, it would be, you know, basically the same thing they're doing right there.
Maya calls them merces. Yes, I've heard that name too. But you know, you can't go to a place like who sells it? Like Fossil. You don't go there and ask for a merce. You ask for a handbag or a carrying case or something like that. Akuma JP says yes, but we like to travel light. Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Kaijudo saying everyone has a backpack here, so no issue. That's true. A lot of people, if you don't use something that's over one shoulder, it's over both, like a backpack. Or you carry it on one shoulder, and that's how you get light scoliosis like I had in high school. Anyway, let's move on. Did we do the UK releases? Yes, we did, didn't we?
Yes.
So I think we're to the mailbag segment. How does that sound? We're going to get to the mailbag. Every week, you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we like to pull out your emails and read some of our favorites here on air, although I believe this week we didn't have anything because I looked earlier. Yep, it is an empty mailbag. It's a desert. It's a wasteland. So this is where I ask the listeners, why don't you love us? Why don't you love us? Send an email. Tell us what you think about the Switch. Come on, there's been a lot of stuff on that. Are you going to get Red Dead 2? What about Diablo 4? Is it going to be Diablo 4 or is it a Diablo 3 expansion? I'd like to hear from some voice actors. I know we have a few of them listening. What do you think about all that strike business going on? So, and ActDev says, we do, in response to loving us, we just don't like writing. Twitter has ruined everybody. You can say things in more than 140 characters. It's okay. All right, that's fine. No mail this week, so we will just table that till next time. Next week will be the Halloween show because Halloween is Monday, right? So, next week will be our Halloween show. So you can send us a scary, scary story. Send us a scary story to read on air, but it has to involve video games. So it has to be like that one time you broke your console or like threw a Wiimote through your TV. That'll be fun. Let's get to a few more stories and then we'll get to your calls. Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. Loki.
So another page of this seems like a great idea for television. Apparently, they are adapting Candy Crush. Yes, Candy Crush into an hour-long game show for CBS. They haven't really said when it's going to premiere, but the format will consist of two teams of two. They'll be competing on an interactive game board. And, you know, they say, we are huge fans of Candy Crush, and like so many others, we know the rush advancing to the next level of the game. We're excited to work with Lionsgate and King to adapt one of the world's most popular entertainment game franchises for television to make it available to its masses, massive passionate fan base who can watch and play along at home.
Can't they use that hour to, like, put Big Brother over the top on TV or the Star Trek series that they're doing on TV? Do they have to give an hour to fucking Candy Crush? Really?
They've had weirder game show ideas. My favorite of the recent, you know, because I don't really watch live TV, but back when I got a cancel cable. I've been meaning to cancel the cable portion of that because they give you, you know, a better deal if you buy cable and the internet versus just the internet, and like I only use the internet, so I've said, well, if I can get cable and the internet and it's still cheaper than what I'm paying for just internet, then sure, why not? Let's do it. So I decided to watch some live TV when I first put it on. Of course, then I unhooked my cable box. I'm like, fuck this shit. But one of the shows that they had on there, and I'm not really sure what the premise of the show was, but it was, I think, people answering trivia questions or something like that. And they had, like, valuables of theirs on a conveyor belt that would fall off a building and smash on the ground. And I'm a big fan of dropping things onto the ground, so that show was kind of cool. But, yeah, Candy Crush, go fuck King, and seriously, CBS, fuck you guys for even giving them the light of day for that shit.
I still can't believe that whole thing where people would do the shapes with the wall. What the hell was that show called? Through the Wall or something like that?
Yeah, that was, I don't know, but see, like, once again, like, the Japanese game show was funny, whereas this, you know, show was stupid. Like, when they bring it over to America, it's fucking lame. I just don't understand why, like, they can't make the goofiness of that. I mean, the closest thing we got was Most Extreme Elimination Challenge, which is basically just a goofy redub of, you know, Takashi's Castle. But, like, if they actually took it seriously, it would be stupid.
Now, here's the other thing I don't understand, okay? CBS, if I'm not mistaken, CBS, Viacom, same thing, right? Viacom owns MTV, MTV owns Logo, so CBS could theoretically be airing RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, but then that would expose gays to the mainstream audience, and then we can't have that.
Okay, but Candy Crush, all right, look. In fact, we haven't done this in a very long time. You know what we need to do? We need to take a poll. We need to do a live poll right now here at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. We're going to go and ask this poll, and it's up live over at live.vognetwork.com. What would you rather watch on CBS? You can choose the first answer, Candy Crush, or you can choose the second answer, RuPaul's Drag Race. Vote now. We'll get the listener's final answer in just a moment.
I vote C, actually, which is Silent Library, because that show is hilarious on MTV, and I'd rather watch that. Have you ever seen that show?
I think I have.
That show right there was the closest show that I could see that was like a Japanese game show. It was basically they had to be quiet in a library, and they would have a task that they would have to do that was ridiculous or like painful or just gross that they would have to do while being quiet. That was the premise of the show. No one won anything. It's just silly. And that's what that show, like through the whatever they called it in Japan, the one where you go through the wall, it was just a silly show. The whole point is that I can complete it. Hooray for me. It's not like I'm going to win money. It was just trying to beat it just for the sake of beating it.
All right. We're asking that question again. This is your last chance to vote, live.vognetwork.com. If you don't see the poll, I guess refresh the page. But people are voting, so I know the answers are coming in. So check that out, and you can vote live. We'll get to the answer here in a minute. And it is not unanimous. I'll put it that way. So that even surprised me. So we'll get to that in a minute. Which would you rather watch on CBS, Candy Crush or RuPaul's Drag Race? All right. I'm sure a lot of you experienced this last week, but it did incorporate gaming into it, and that was the fact that there was a large DDoS attack, a very large DDoS attack, which, of course, is the direct denial of service attacks, and it did affect PlayStation Network. And this was because PlayStation Network is a part of Dyn, D-Y-N. Am I saying that right? The name of the company on the East Coast that provides a lot of internet coverage to a lot of big websites. They got hit with a massive DDoS attack, which... I mean, this is so big that now apparently the Department of Homeland Security is involved. They're saying that it was something where, like, devices in your home, like a camera or a baby monitor or some shit that has IP address, somehow they're getting malware on these devices, and they were being used in the attack as well. The attacks have stopped, but it certainly made people stop for a minute. I mean, I was pissed off. I couldn't use Twitter for hours and hours. I didn't realize how fucking addicted to Twitter I was until that DDoS attack took down Twitter for a good chunk of the morning and most of the afternoon on Friday. But obviously gamers were affected as well. So, Loki, you're laughing over there. You laughing about the DDoS or what?
I'm just like picturing like Twitter, malware in a printer or something like that.
Well, yeah, it's...
baby monitor malware.
Well, it's crazy to think, you know, if that stuff can be turned and used on, you know, other places, that's almost, you know, it's kind of scary, especially with how much our society relies on the internet. This is probably causing a lot of people to kind of stop and go, whoa, hopefully our government is kind of looking at that and going, well, not everything needs to be on the internet. So, yeah, we'll see. Anyway, I have a feeling.
We got it. That's why we need to invade your computer to find those hackers and catch that 4chan.
I unfortunately don't think this is the last we're going to see of it either. I think there's probably more to come from these attacks, so be ready for it. I don't know. Can they ever stop DDoS attacks? I thought one way that they were doing it, like you would see that Cloudflare thing comes up, and sometimes it asks for a... because like that's what they did with the Pokemon Go. They asked for all the CAPTCHA codes, right? Every time you ping the server, so it like slows it down tremendously. I guess other sites can't do that.
That's funny. I thought the whole slowing down tremendously was just a feature of Pokemon Go.
Oh, shut up. Dungeon Buster in chat says, over at live.vognetwork.com says, let's make everything internet smart from DVDs to toasters. But what about security? Who attacks toasters? SSGO 100 Matt says, I wonder if this is connected to those Lizard Squad kids getting charged for their attack on Sony recently. I don't think anyone's really claimed responsibility, have they? Or no, they did on Twitter, didn't they? But it was a different group, right?
I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway, I know what I give a shit about, and that is our live poll. What would you rather watch on CBS, Candy Crush or RuPaul's Drag Race. And the poll is at an end. And believe it or not, Candy Crush got 37% of the vote. So Candy Crush with 37% of the vote. RuPaul's Drag... Actually, it's 37.5% of the vote. RuPaul's Drag Race was 62.5% of the vote. So that's almost a 30 you would rather watch Candy Crush. Well, you know what?
That's a third less, you know, hope I have for humanity.
I hope you're happy with that decision. Enjoy your crap television. All right. That was just a silly, fun poll. I realized we haven't done a poll in a long, long time. So I'm glad we could do that there. So part of listening live over at VogNetwork.com. Meanwhile, Loki, what do you have for us?
All right. So this is pretty awesome. I'm waiting, because it's only twice a year that we get to see this, but I usually watch it in the archives and everything. But they have the information on the lineup for Awesome Games Doug Quick 2017. And some of the games, of course, it's going to be running through January 18th through the 15th. And the schedule has been finalized. I haven't heard Flacco say anything about the PT run. So I'm going to assume that, unfortunately, he didn't quite make it in there.
I looked at the schedule, and it was not there, I'm sorry to say.
That's unfortunate. But, yeah, they have all the blocks, so you can go check it out and everything. I haven't quite gotten a chance to take a look and see if there's anything that really stood out. But I really, honestly, I just like watching all of it because it's just fun watching, especially watching them play the games and talk about what they're doing to kind of the different strats and everything for it. It's
for sure.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
That I would rather watch on TV versus their stupid Candy Crush Saga shit. And seriously, it's
enough.
An hour long. I mean, god damn. I mean, shit, just put two reruns of Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy on there instead. I mean,
that'd
be better.
I next time I do a poll, I'll put that in there. But I really think if anything was going to be 100-0, it would be Awesome Games Done Quick versus Candy Crush. So there you go. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the marathon, even if poor Flacco is still not in it. But keep trying, Flacco. He's going to keep trying until he gets in. I know it. Don't give up. You can do it. Hey, maybe this is a game we'll see speedrun in the future, because this is something way out of Nintendo's archives. This was a game that was for the Satellaview that was unearthed just recently. You know, the Satellaview, if you didn't already know, that was a Japanese-only peripheral that existed for the Famicom, Super Famicom, excuse me, which was their version, of course, of the Super Nintendo. And it allowed you to basically download games through satellite, basically. One of the games that was released on it was called The Legend of Zelda Ancient Stone Tablets.
Ooh.
That game was originally only broadcast in Japanese, but now there are language patches available in English, French, and German. And you can check that out at BS Zelda. And that does not stand for what BS stands for usually, but that was part of the name of the Satellaview. But bszelda.zeldalegends.net, they have the file there. So you can check that out. English, French, and German patches. And, of course...
I can't tell from the screenshots. Was that a Super Nintendo game?
It is a Super Nintendo game.
Ooh.
It was Super Famicom originally, of course. But yeah, obviously the look and feel is very similar to Link to the Past. I'm almost
positive
it's the same
engine.
See, that's
like that kind of shit I wish, like... You know how we see these remasters of their things? Just like do like a, not necessarily remaster, but like, you know, kind of like, hey, it's Link to the Past and this, you know, on top of it. I mean, that.
Or just fucking put this out on Virtual Console. Obviously, there's people out there that want it. And this has a whole, there's a timer on it. Like, you know, even though it's very clearly like a Link to the Past, there's a timer on it, you know, so there's like, you know, speed running that's happening in this. So anyway. Originally, the game was broadcast in 4 one-hour chunks, and yeah, it was broadcast at a specific time once a week, and you could only access that game at that time. So that's, wow. And The broadcast was streamed audio that had voice acting and orchestrated music. Very, very weird technology at the time. So now, anyway, it's available, and you can check that out if you want. There it is. There's also YouTubes out there, of course, if you want to see a little bit more on that, so... I think that's cool, though, that something was unearthed after all this time. And that was some neat technology at the time. I think the closest thing we had to it was the Sega Channel, which obviously was not a Nintendo thing, but it was...
Something else I saw that was unearthed was, a ROM for the SNES version of Rayman.
I did see that. Yeah, I missed putting that on our show roll this week. But yeah, there was a Super Nintendo Rayman apparently that was unearthed this week.
And apparently ran at 60 frames per second and it was pretty awesome. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing some of that as well.
Cool. Well, I think it's time for us to take your calls. So if you'd like to give us a call, you can right now on Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. That's Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. The Skype line is open for your calls right now, and it's already lighting up. My gosh, people were just waiting to get in here tonight. Let's do it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Brad from Pod Culture.
Hello, Brad, my friend. How are you?
Peachy Keen, just a little tired from setting this new thing up.
Oh, yeah, you're in the midst of a studio renovation, right?
Yeah, we'll move, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, I hope we can do something similar here at OLR, maybe. I think it might finally be time to replace the computer. As much as I've dragged my feet on that, it's probably time. So that's something we might...
Oh, God, how many years has that been now?
A while. Here's the thing. Christmas and New Year's Day are on Sundays this year. So, or this coming year, whatever you want to say. So I have a feeling it's going to kind of force us to take a little break from OLR. Granted, we could do some pre-recorded stuff, but I think our audience would forgive us if we took a nice big break for the holidays.
Yeah, exactly. Sakes.
And so I think that might be the time we kind of do some. Now, obviously, I rent this house, so we can't do anything crazy like painting the walls like you're doing. But I think that might be a good time. I think this might be a good time for us to take a break and do some of those upgrades and changes. So
I just had to make the new. First call from the new studio to you guys.
Oh, fuck. SSJ, sorry, excuse me, Brad. SSJ and Matt brings up a good point. MAGFest is the week right after New Year's. We may end up being gone for a month. I don't know, guys, yet. I don't know. Would OLR people be pissed if we were gone for a month? I don't know.
Not this one. I mean, no, you guys need a break.
I appreciate that. But we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we can look at doing something pre-recorded. I don't know. We have to get through episode 666 first. And then we'll talk about what's going to happen come the holidays and MAGFest and all that other stuff. But anyway, Brad.
I did have to call with the game though. Have you played Politicats?
I haven't played Politicats yet. I've just had a million other things going on. But I know you've been telling me about this. Tell the listeners about this.
Oh, my God. It you're this cat, and you run for various offices. You start from, like, town clerk. You can work your way up through district attorney and mayor and... you eventually get harder and harder, but I assume you can move up. And now they've added leaderboards, and there's a 24-hour running game that if you're in such and such a tier, you get little bonuses at the end of that 24 hours. And now they've done a Halloween update.
And what's in the Halloween update?
It's all cosmetic stuff, but, there's little witches costumes you can unlock, and... the graphics are, got cobwebs and just goofy Halloween themes type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fun little clicker game.
All right, I'm going to have to check that out at some point. I love my clickers. And I think I finally ran out of steam on a Nonstop Night. I think I finally kind of stopped playing that and checking on it as much as I was. But for a clicker game, that was a lot of fun. And that was something you recommended. So I don't see why I won't check out Politicats. Now, one of my buddies on Twitter, I will say this, speaking of cats, recommended an app today that's called, what is this, Weather Kitty. And all it is, it's like a replacement for your weather app, which there's like 5 billion weather apps on the phone. I know, not that exciting. But it replaces it with what is going on with the weather and a picture of a cat that matches the weather. Oh, this is so adorable. The picture changed. So it's saying right now it's 63 degrees in Sacramento, and there's a little cat sleeping at a night, like a little night city, which obviously isn't Sacramento, but a little night cityscape there. Isn't that adorable, Loki?
Yes.
I will have to check this out.
There you go. So
as long as it's more accurate than AccuWeather, then
yeah.
Well, that's not hard to beat sometimes.
My favorite is when I check one of those weather apps and it's like, it's partially cloudy and all this, and I look outside.
It's raining right now,
and
it's like clear and sunny. It's like, no, it's not.
Crazy. Although, technically, different parts of the city can see rain versus, but anyway, I won't get into that level of it.
Oh, for like 3 weeks after Dragon Con, I was still getting Atlanta reports.
Yeah,
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, my weather app like has, or the one I was using before it, I think Weather Channel or something, before I was using the cats, I think had Atlanta as one of the cities in it, just because, I know I go there at least once a year. That was in there. LA is in there, because I was going there a lot. Yeah, road trips, fun.
But games, take some more calls, get back to games, guys.
I will,
but,
I will.
Politicats, oh my God, the Halloween thing is just too much.
But Brad, there's no better time to play a game than when you're on an airplane waiting to go to another city. Do you know how much Dragon Quest VII I played while I was traveling?
Hopefully not on a Note 7.
No. Dragon Quest VII was on 3DS, so we were fine.
All right. I'll catch you guys later.
All right, take care, my friend.
Peace.
Bye. All right, 1-877-GAME-OLR or Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. We have another call coming in. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Raging Eater.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I'm all right. What's up? What's on your mind tonight?
Well, one question, before you get to it, a few minutes ago, you were talking about the Satellite View and whatnot.
Yeah.
And well, aside from the Sega Channel, which I definitely remember hearing about, there was something else that came out right around the same time. That came out for both Super Nintendo and the Genesis, if I remember right. I think it was called, what, the X-Band or something like that?
Yes. There was that thing as well. You're right. There was, like, X-Band, I think, was kind of a similar thing as well. Yep.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember much about it. The only thing I kind of sort of recall is that there were kind of rudimentary lobbies, a little bit of a chat, I think, and of course, you can play your games online. I never got a chance to try it myself because my parents weren't allowed it, but the technology was there though.
All right, good to know. Good to know. So, what was the question you had tonight?
The two of you, I wouldn't necessarily see everyone in chat, but the vast majority of the people that are in chat are in. At least to some degree or another, into PC gaming, to what extent, that's up to the individual, but at least some people like to play PC games. My question is for the two of you, and of course for Chad, what were the games or games that got you into PC gaming? And why?
Great question. What were the games that got you into PC gaming and why? I'll start while Loki thinks about that. My story was a little different because I was kind of enabled by the Commodore 64, which was prior to PCs, but that was still a home computer. So it was a PC of sorts, but not an actual PC, if that makes sense. So Commodore 64 was really kind of what enabled me with games. I think even before Nintendo Entertainment System, because sure, I had an Atari 2600, but I probably spent more time on the Commodore 64 because, the complexity of the games you could do on the Commodore 64 was even more so, and especially the music, the sound chip in the Commodore 64 was divine, and you had some great music in there. So, I think that was really the gateway that then took me into PC games. But, like, the earliest PC games I remember playing were a lot of the old Sierra stuff, like King's Quest IV and those sorts of, like, point-and-click adventure games. The original Civilization was huge for me. But you know what really sold me on PC, like, way back when, and something I was really into, Raginator? It wasn't even so much the games as it was, and I know we've joked about this on the show before, but it was Prodigy was what really sold me on, like, we need a PC in this house. I'm, like, 12 years old trying to convince my parents we really need a PC in this house, because Prodigy allowed me to be online and, like, talk to people. And as somebody who was, believe it or not, a little bit shy sometimes because I got picked on a lot in school, I kind of was drawn early to the fact that I could kind of, post on these bulletin boards online. And then I got into the whole BBS thing, which is a whole other story. But I didn't really find out about that until well after. I think I found out about those on Prodigy. Or maybe it was my dad. There used to be like a newspaper they published here locally, and like the last page of the paper had all the numbers to the BBSs. So I think my dad used to always kind of collect those and tell me I should be participating in them, but not to call long distance or my mother would lose her mind, which is all true. But anyway, so yeah, I guess that's kind of my answer. I don't know if there's really one game I can put my finger on and say this is the reason I needed a PC, but these were all things that really made me a PC gamer. What about you, Loki?
Shareware. That kind of got me into But like first PC was just basically it was kind of a gift from somebody. Like, they didn't want their old PC, so like I had like SimCity on that. But you know, like my purchasing games, a lot of that was driven by shareware. I'm playing a lot of those shareware demos back then were like pretty substantial, and you know, Castle Wolfenstein, that's just one whole campaign. I mean, that's quite a lot of game. So it was kind of that, and then, you know, like BBSs and stuff, and then finally once the internet came around and, you know, doing all that. But yeah, it's definitely was driven by just playing shareware games.
And what was some of your favorite? I love the shareware games too, like Commander Keen. That shit was off the hook.
You know, like
ZZT, long live.
Yeah, ZZT was awesome. You know, and also like PC Gamer magazine. You know, a lot of the demo discs and stuff, and they're in there. So, you know, I didn't have that powerful of a PC at the time. It had 4 megs of RAM, but it was, you know, back then you had to do all sorts of crazy shit to your, you know, different config sys and auto execute bat files to get stuff to run to allocate memory correctly and all that bullshit that you had to go through. So getting Doom to run, you know, just wouldn't really run on what I had. But, you know, Wolfenstein was fun. Eventually when I got my own PC, you know, Duke Nukem 3D. I don't know. It was just a lot of, mostly I played console games, but, you know, I did a lot of stuff on PC. Command and Conquer, Red Alert.
Raginator, what about you real quick? And your kitties, by the way, which of course I see on the cam there. What about you, Raginator, before we let you go?
Well, it's kind of a complicated answer. The short version is it's, well, twofold. Now, everyone knows the BS I had to deal with my consoles back in 2012. That's one reason why I got into PC gaming. And of course, you know, one thing that you always harped on for the longest time is Steam sales, Steam sales, and cheap games, you know, and plus, you know, not only that, but, you know, I always heard about, you know, games being better on PC, be it like Duke Nukem 3D or the Doom series or the Quake series, this and other. And plus, certain games like Diablo 2 never came to console. So I can kind of figure, what the hell? If I'm going to have to choose between getting a PC versus getting a console, might as well go with PC. I'll probably save money in the process, long run, and get to play superior versions of whatever game, and get to play games like Diablo 2. So, and so far I've been loving it. So,
all right, well, my friend, I'm gonna let you go so we can try to fit in another call here before we call it a night, but thank you as always for the question.
Sure, have a nice night.
You too, and pet those kitties that were in the background there. Let's get to another call. Wow, our phone is like ringing off the hook tonight. Hi, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's never it's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, what's up, buddy?
Oh, not a lot, but we need to put on another pot of coffee right now.
Uh-oh, what's up?
Switch.
Oh, the Nintendo Switch. What do you want to say about it?
Where do I start?
I don't know. What were your thoughts? We'll start with, what was your reaction to the trailer?
The Nintendo Switch is going to be an overpriced piece of junk powered by a customized, underpowered processor.
Ouch. So you're not a fan?
No, I am not.
What about the games, though, Rama? That's really, I mean, if they have the must-have games on it, isn't the rest of it not going to matter?
In a way, I say the same thing about the Wii U. Yes, the Wii U is $299. There are at least 10 games on it that I want. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, $299. There's at least 3 games on each of those consoles that I'd want. The only difference is I'd sooner gyrate towards those because it's technologically a lot more powerful and I know it can do something with it, you know? Whereas the Wii U, yes, has great games, but it's sitting in the corner eating paste.
So the Nintendo Switch really has to come out for the right price.
Yes, and I already said it. If the Switch doesn't drop at $200, I'm not buying it. Simple as that.
Well, I think, though, Rama, $199 could be a realistic price for the Switch.
No, I don't think so. $250 at least.
Really?
If not more, I would say $299 probably.
I think it really depends. I think the big question mark is the dock. For me, it's the dock.
No, the dock has no tech in it.
I don't think it has anything in it.
Well, that's what it comes down to. If the dock is doing anything, then it's going to cost more. If the dock is doing nothing except being a pass-through for the TV, then it will cost less, I think.
All I can see from the dock, it's a pass-through with two USBs. Now, my thought was, okay, well, you put it in the dock has more memory, better chipset, and all this other stuff. And I think that's awesome because right now, Alienware has something similar. If you buy like this high-end laptop, they have a special docking bay where you connect your laptop to it, and there is a much more powerful video card in it and other stuff, and you can really do some serious gaming. But from what I've been told, it's just a pass-through. That's all it is.
Interesting. I could see $249. Brad from Pod Culture says $249 with a pack-in game. I could see that as well.
$249 with a pack-in game, no, I still won't. Because when it comes to price point, let me tell you something. I just started this side project, and I had to pick up a low-end tablet. So I went out and bought a low-end Windows 10 tablet that doubles as a laptop, more of a tablet, and I paid about $130 for it. This thing has 2 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of memory. The video quality resolution is average by best. What I see on this is not even close to Switch. Now, what they're pushing for, they want to put it up 1920 by 1080p, that's what they want. This thing is going to have at least 4 gigs of memory to run the OS, to run the applications, to run the games. Storage? No. I really see, in order for Nintendo to really make this shine, they're going to have to take one hell of a loss on each one sold.
Which Nintendo usually doesn't do.
Right. The only times they've done that is when the 3DS first came out. Yes, they were making money off of it, but then they had to cut the price down to take a loss. Now they're making a profit. Yeah. Same thing with the Wii U, you know?
ActDef does confirm the dock will be included. Nintendo Japan already confirmed it. So we had theorized, you know, one of our many Wheel of Plausibility scenarios that the dock and the thing could be sold separately. But I think that's back when we thought it was two separate systems in one ecosystem. And I think those started to get, you know, that talk kind of started to die down when the rumors about it being a Switch basically started to pick up. So, you know, but anyway, at least the good news is at least we know. I mean, this is what I wish Nintendo would have done a month ago, but is it going to change the fact that I'll be there pre-ordering the system to pick up in March? No. They can do whatever they want, I suppose, but sometimes I just kind of look at it and go, why are you doing this to me, Nintendo? But you know what? If they sell a ton of them, it doesn't really matter what I think.
If they sell a ton of them.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I'm not getting one because you know what? I already carry around my work tablet. I already carry around my side tablet. I also carry around my 3DS. I also carry around my phone. There is no room in my bag for another gaming tablet. And you and whoever buys it, you better hope and pray that it doesn't get damaged. Because the way I see a tablet, that's a one whole cohesive unit. If something happens to that screen, that whole thing is getting replaced.
Yeah. I need to see more games. And I guess I'll be waiting until January. I mean, I'm pretty confident just being the gaming nerd I am, I'm going to get one. But I really, really want to see the games to get me more excited about it.
Look, when you get one, me, Loki, Matt, Acta, we're going to redo that whole Genesis commercial when Matt got a Genesis. We're going to redo that whole thing. We're going to knock on the door and be like, I heard Sky got a Switch. And we're going to redo that whole commercial. That's what we're going to do.
Well, you know what? The hands-on experience sold Loki a PlayStation VR, so anything is possible. Anything is possible. All right, Rama, I'm going to let you go to try to fish for one more call before we wrap up, but thanks for the call.
Hey, no problem, dude.
Everybody listen to Anime Jam Session or else.
Oh, yeah. Rob, one more thing.
What?
Take the vacation. Anime Jam Session does it every year. Take the vacation. You earned it. Y'all deserve it. If anyone has a problem with it, send them to me. I'll set them straight.
I appreciate that deeply. I just have a feeling the podcaster in me is not going to let us go 3 weeks with no content, but inevitably we'll have to probably go 3 weeks with no live content. I just don't see how we get around that unless we do a show New Year's Day, which is possible. Anything is possible. We'll see. It's too early for me to think about. So guys, please don't take anything I'm saying. There's a lot of stuff going through my head when it comes to this show, and a lot of decisions are made very knee-jerk sometimes. So we'll talk in December. Rob,
I'll tell you this. At MAGFest, if you get into that mindset, I'm dragging you to the bar and I'm shoving shots down your throat.
Can we do that anyway?
Yes.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Take care, my friend.
Later.
All right. Bye. All right. We'll see if we can squeeze in one more call. 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. Loki, any last minute stories to share with us? I feel like there's a lot we didn't really get around to tonight.
There's some information. It's rumored that there's going to be a new Brothers in Arms game that's in works, and a new Far Cry Blood Dragon, because they were spotted on that SAG-AFTRA list.
Oh, okay.
So,
even though a lot of the SAG-AFTRA list used code names. There's a lot of code names.
A lot of code names, yeah, mm-hmm. But those apparently weren't.
Gotcha. Anything else to share?
No, that's about it.
Well, things are pretty quiet on the Skype side, so I think we will close it down and close up shop for the night. We've had a lot of shorter shows recently. I don't know if that's because Jamie not being here and not having that third opinion is shortening things down, or what's going on, if we just have less to say, or if there's less gaming news. I don't know, but that's that. We're going to wrap things up tonight, but we will be back to do it again in 7 days, a Halloween episode, so we'll talk about scary games a little bit. I don't have an interview booked yet, but I'm going to try to see if I can't get something for next week, especially if this voice actor thing continues another week. I think I would really love to hear, but I also kind of want to be able to cover both sides without starting an argument, so I want to be able to kind of do that respectfully, but I want to see if we can't do something like that next week, but who knows? Stay tuned. Obviously, at the same time, I don't want to cover it because I want it to be resolved on Monday or Tuesday. That's what I would really like to happen, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyhow, that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our show, and thank you for downloading it, listening to it live. Please consider telling a friend about the show. Spread the word, because Orange Lounge Radio is the show where every gamer has a voice, but not if we don't have them here. So tell a friend about the show and spread the word. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes and all that stuff goes an awful long way as well. Loki, shoot, any final thoughts tonight?
I don't know. I guess I'll try to work on my game this week. I say that every week and it isn't happening, so I'll try again.
Well, I need to get around to getting Dragon Quest Builders, because I bought that game because I liked the demo so much. And this is my final thought. I like the demo so much, I bought the game, even though I bought it with the slow shipping so I could get like the extra credit on it, because I knew I'd be in Vegas. I wasn't in a rush to play it. But boy, I really am not in a rush to play it, because it's still sitting there waiting for me to play. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight. We'll see. Now that I have 20 extra minutes than I usually have, we'll see. Anyway, that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We will see you in 7 days to do it all over again. Have a great week, everybody. Happy gaming, and take care.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.